Pianos and Pianos and the unique technique Accelerated Piano Method guarantees you'll be playing exciting songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Click on the video now to go to their website. The unique technique Accelerated Piano Method, only at Pianos and Pianos.
Of a major speech on national security, live to the White House and CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
Nick, with the National Archives and the U.S. Constitution as a backdrop, the president will defend his terror detention and interrogation policies, setting the tone for the speech. An administration official tells CBS News the nation lost its way because of, quote, an ineffective Bush-era policy. Spokesman Robert Gibbs previews the response to critics worried that prisoners will be sent to the U.S.
He is not going to make any decision or any judgment that imperils the safety of the American people.
In a disclosure that adds to the debate, the New York Times reports the Pentagon has determined many of the detainees released to other countries since 2002 returned to terrorism.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The president faces serious trouble on Guantanamo from both parties. Republicans, including Senator James Inhofe, want it to stay open.
I think we should keep Guantanamo Bay open. There is no excuse to close that thing.
Congress has denied the president money to close it until he has a plan for the remaining detainees and made it much harder to come up with one by nearly universal opposition to allowing any of them to be moved to military or civilian prisons in the U.S.
One of the prisoners at Guantanamo will be sent to New York City to stand trial. The Justice Department has decided on the transfer of Ahmed Galani, accused in the 1988 bombings of two U.S. embassies in Africa that left more than 200 people dead. CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen.
The defendant here is definitely not the so-called worst of the worst terror suspects, and he's not charged with anything related to the 9/11 terror attacks. Instead, he's a defendant very much like dozens of other terror suspects who have been tried and convicted in federal courts both before and after 9/11.
Last night in New York,
what do you have to say, sir?
A year-long probe came to an end with the arrest of four men accused in a homegrown terrorist plot. More live from CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan in New York. City.
It ended outside a Jewish temple in the Bronx.
No one was at risk. This was a very tightly controlled operation.
Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says the men planned to bomb the temple and a Jewish center and also wanted to shoot at military planes with Stinger missiles, but they got their weapons from an informant and they were fake. Joseph Demarest of the New York FBI.
They believe the informant to be part of a known terrorist group banned by the U.S.
Jewish Center Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt is relieved.
We conduct our business because our love of what we do is greater than our fear of those who would like to stop us from doing it.
Live in New York, Steve Kathan, CBS News.
New bloodshed in Iraq. Three U.S. soldiers have been killed, nine wounded in a roadside bombing in southern Baghdad. As many as a dozen civilians were also killed. And in the northern city of Kirkuk, a suicide bomber killed seven members of a Sunni paramilitary unit. This week, CBS News has been focusing on children of the recession. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato is in Austin, Texas, with today's report focusing on one positive aspect of the downturn in the economy.
Ted,
nice to meet you.
Come on in.
When Ted Krause's corporate career suddenly ended, he decided to slow down and stay home more for his daughters, Isidore and Lila.
I have the ability to work with them and learn from them because I'm around them more.
It's just like having my parents there with me.
She chases the dog Nappy away from the chickens tucked in the side yard.
We call whoever's dealing with the chickens the chicken tender.
Forced to cut back because of the recession, many parents are flocking to a movement called Slow Family Living, promoted here by Bernadette Knoll and Kerry Conte.
Faster, faster, more, more. It's failed in the corporate world. Maybe in the family world, it's not an operable system either.
Slow down, connect, and enjoy.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Austin.
4 past the hour.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado union workers say they're angry with Governor Ritter for vetoing a bill that would have given unemployment benefits to employees locked out during labor disputes. The workers say the governor gave grocery chains an unfair advantage in contract talks. Union worker Ted Sandoval.
He's scum as far as I'm concerned.
and I will never endorse a vote for him again.
Ritter says he vetoed the bill because workers currently embroiled in contract negotiations after their contracts expire are not out of work and shouldn't be entitled to unemployment benefits. Back to work in the Boulder Valley School District. Schools report few teachers called in sick yesterday.
We're just glad to have the teachers back.
District spokesman Briggs Gamblin, the teachers returned after a three-day sick out protesting salaries. And the days of getting blasted by air with puffer machines at Denver's airport are ending as the TSA is removing the security devices nationwide in favor of 250 new body scanners. Sports, game two of the Western Conference Finals tonight, Nuggets and Lakers, 7 o'clock, and the Braves over the Rockies 12-4, the series finale this evening in Atlanta. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Pretty good speeds as you're out and about right now. There are no crashes or stalls to get in your way. You will find more cars on I-25. This on both sides of the highway between the Tech Center and downtown. 76 also starting to get a little bit crowded right around 270, especially on that westbound side. But again, no delays. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Get ready for the long weekend at your neighborhood King Soopers. You'll find great specials on steaks, burgers, and other ideas for the grill.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow-up to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics. Showbiz.
You never have to pan, you never have to zoom, you never have to scroll. You just read. Those were the words of Amazon's chief executive, Jeff Bezos, at the launch of the new Kindle DX, their brand new e-reader, which is 250% bigger than previous Kindles and aimed at the newspaper, magazine, and document reading audience. A paperless society is now one step and just under $500 closer.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
Calling we'll never Ritter's gone
to him again.
Yeah, it's brutal. I think Ritter made a really big mistake on this. Well, you know, I think that, but I think he miscalculated. Thought it would be a small issue, and there's a lot of blowback. Speaking of that, in just about 20 minutes, we're going to have on State Representative Ed Casso, and he is going to debate Governor Ritter's head of the Department of Labor and Employment. We are going to have a debate here. We're going to open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Not yet. We're not opening it up yet. But in 20 minutes, we're going to open it up. We're going to have a debate here. Don Morris, he is, again, the director of the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment in Bill Ritter's cabinet. We are still asking for Governor Ritter to come on the show and explain himself. Unfortunately, he's only, at this point, sending his surrogate to us, but we will debate it out in just about 20 minutes. So stick around for that. First, let's do our news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Okay, as I mentioned, a lot of anger at Governor Ritter all across the newspapers today. This stuff is pretty incredible. You don't usually see politicians criticizing other politicians of the same party. So this is pretty amazing. We got Casso in the Denver Business Journal saying that Governor Ritter has aligned himself with greedy corporations and shown his true colors. It's a direct quote there. Sal Pace, the state representative from Pueblo, says, quote, he's vetoing it for no good reason. The bill would have put some good safety nets into place. I think it should be the place for government to care for all people, not just major corporations. Pace said Ritter's move would make it hard for Democrats to support his reelection and build support for the governor. Sounded as if that support had already eroded Wednesday in Pueblo. Again, I'm reading from the Pueblo Chieftain. Quote, this is the third time Ritter has gone against the people who elected him, said Chuck Slater, business agent for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. There will be repercussions. I have no use for the man. People are very angry. Very angry, said Dan Shake of the the Union of Engineers. I'm not surprised with Ritter's history. I walked precincts, manned phone banks, and voted for him. I will now campaign against him. State Representative Buffy McFadden, she said, quote, in the toughest economic time, workers need the support of their government. Governor Bill Owens reversed the law in 1999, and I'd like to know the last time he worked an 8-hour day. But this veto will allow the retail industry to have the upper hand and force concessions on workers. There's no question there will be a lot of working individuals counting on him, Ritter that is, who will now ask themselves, quote, what's the difference between Ritter and a Republican? Those are tough words from a Democratic politician to Democratic politicians. Again, we're talking about Governor Ritter's veto of that bill that would have allowed workers locked out of their jobs to file for unemployment benefits like every other worker in this state. Ritter taking enormous heat for this. Of course, one interest group he's not taking heat from are huge business CEOs. King Soopers, Albertsons, Safeway CEOs, they all issued statements applauding him. So this is a tempest right now for Governor Ritter. And we're going to get into it in 20 minutes. And we're going to continue every day asking for Governor Ritter to come on this show and explain himself. In other news, Scott McGinnis begins his 2010 challenge to Governor Ritter. Former Congressman Scott McGinnis, the Republican, officially entered the 2010 gubernatorial race with little fanfare after critics had for weeks argued he was essentially running without filing the appropriate financial disclosures. You remember he got caught on tape potentially violating campaign law by saying he was going to be coordinating with a 527, which is illegal. Also saying that he was basically running for governor but hadn't filed the paperwork yet. Denver Post, the business section, an unlikely pairing of Mexican drug cartel violence and a new economic incentive in Colorado could bring more jobs to the state. Economic development officials have talked with a number of firms considering expansion or relocation in Colorado following recent passage of a business development tax credit in the state legislature. Meanwhile, at least one unidentified company with operations near the Mexican border has inquired about moving to Colorado because of concerns over drug-related violence and other crime there. A new study from CU Boulder. When asteroids the size of Kansas pummeled Earth almost 4 billion years ago, scorching the planet's surface and possibly vaporizing oceans, they likely didn't kill off every living thing. Instead, the giant reckless rocks may have given a boost to life as we now know it. So this study from CU offers a new little wrinkle on how life may have actually started on this planet. In that case about the new chancellor of Colorado State University, where they picked him behind closed doors, that lawsuit that the Fort Collins Coloradan is filing, that we've been covering here. The Coloradan reports that members of CSU's governing board fretted about the public perception that they were hiring a good old boy before they decided to make fellow board member Joe Blake the sole finalist for the university system's chancellor. Blake largely dismissed the concerns, telling the board in a May 5th interview that his integrity would help turn back criticism. This is from an hour-long recording of closed-door deliberations May 5th that were recently ferreted out by the newspapers. Facing a lawsuit by various newspapers, CSU released the recording, which covers Blake's interview and board deliberations about him. The university refused to release portions of the recording covering the interview of another candidate. also interviewed. Check this out, 9 News. Records show one of Colorado's largest trucking companies has been licensing most of its fleet out of state for 13 years to avoid paying Colorado sales tax and emissions fees. The practice by Western Distributing Transportation Corporation has cost Colorado millions of dollars in sales tax revenues during the state's worst budget crisis in decades, according to a 9 News investigation. National news. Monster.com survey finds 71% of American workers admit they go to work when they are ill. And we do not have a paid sick leave law in this country. We don't even have an unpaid sick leave law in this country. And you can imagine, you can understand how that creates problems in the era of swine flu. In an era of epidemics or potential pandemics, if you don't have a sick leave law, people can be fired for following the government's request for people who are sick not to go to work. And that's why you see this survey say 71% of people go to work when they are sick. It's an economic decision. Congress on Wednesday sent President Obama a set of new rules governing credit card companies, completing that trio of consumer-related measures that Democrats had raced to get signed into law by Memorial Day, so that's good news. President Obama today will attempt to answer critics of his dismantling of Bush-era policies on detention and interrogation in a speech reminding Americans that strong national security and adherence to laws and national values don't have to be mutually exclusive. Obama's trying to close the Guantanamo Bay prison. Congress is trying to stop him from doing that. The former director of the U.S. government agency that insures private sector pensions refused to answer questions before Congress on Wednesday amid allegations that he had inappropriate contacts with Wall Street companies bidding for contracts to manage the agency's assets. Huh. Shocker. Shocker that a government regulator is commiserating with the same interests who would benefit from such commiseration. President Obama on Wednesday said his administration would consider exerting executive privilege to possibly withhold information sought by a new commission set up by Congress to investigate the financial crisis. As Obama signed a bill that created a 10-member commission with subpoena power to look into the financial crisis, the White House issued a signing statement specifying that the administration would maintain its constitutional privileges over commission inquiries. So, Obama asserting the right of the administration, the Obama administration, to shield White House information from the Bush administration from being put in front of this commission looking into the financial meltdown. This will fuel conspiracy theorists, all the trilateral commission conspiracy theorists. Under a cloak of secrecy, ABC News reports that some of the world's wealthiest people gathered in an unprecedented meeting early this month in New York City, invited by the world's two richest men, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, along with David Rockefeller. A who's who of American wealth and influence gathered around a long table in a window-lined private room overlooking the East River on May 5th. They say they were talking about how they can join together to do more. You wonder if they were trying to join together to see how they can protect their assets. AP reports police in New Zealand launched an international search for two New Zealanders who allegedly took the money and ran after a bank mistakenly put 10 million New Zealand dollars, that's 6.1 million American dollars, into their account. The couple who operated a gas station applied to Westpac Bank for $6,000, $6,000 American dollar overdraft, but 1,000 times that amount was paid into their account. The two of them withdrew the money and disappeared. That sounds like right out of a movie. Now, remember that that case of the kid who the judge said had to take chemotherapy? The parents saying they don't want him to take chemotherapy because they don't believe in it, even though doctors say it would give him a 90% chance of surviving his cancer. AP reports the search for a Minnesota mother who fled with her 13-year-old cancer-stricken son to escape court-ordered chemotherapy has turned to Southern California after authorities received a tip. But basically, the mother took the kid and ran. They are gone. Nobody knows where they are. So this drama keeps getting more dramatic. Death penalty news. A group of prosecutors, former prosecutors, and lawmakers are petitioning the Supreme Court to stay the execution of Troy Anthony Davis as seven witnesses recant their testimony against him. Remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The practice of the death penalty is just plagued by stories like this. Witnesses recanting. It's incredible. And the final story, this is from Wired News. You may not know it, but if you have a wireless router, a cordless phone, remote car door opener, baby monitor, or cell phone in your house, the FCC claims the right to enter your home without a warrant at any time of the day or night in order to inspect it. That's the upshot of the rules the agency has followed for years to monitor licensed television and radio stations and to crack down on pirate radio broadcasters. And the commission maintains the same policy applies to any licensed or unlicensed radio frequency device. The FCC claims it derives its warrantless search power from the Communications Act of 1934, though the constitutionality of the claim has gone so far untested in the courts. But that is a really, really big brother by the FCC claiming it can come into your house whenever it feels like it under the jurisdiction of your wireless router. Pretty incredible. That's your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
Okay, so the big story of the day that we're going to continue on here, and it's at least a two-day story now. Governor Ritter vetoing that bill to allow workers locked out of their jobs from filing for unemployment benefits, just like every other worker in this state. In the next few minutes, we're going to get on the phone State Representative Ed Casso, who was the sponsor of that bill, and he is going to go, he's going to come into the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. We're going to open it up in a couple minutes, and he's going to go head-to-head with Don Morris, who is Governor Ritter's, in Governor Ritter's cabinet, and is the head of the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. We still can't get Governor Ritter. He has so far refused to come on the radio show, now throwing one of his surrogates here. And we appreciate Don Morris coming on the show, but I will certainly rib him about this, as will Turk from the Millennium Falcon. 623, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It is Thursday, May 21st. Let's get a traffic update.
It's nice and light as we're kicking off the morning commute, Dave. Southbound 25, really our biggest trouble spot. I wouldn't even call it that right now, but speed's starting to decrease a little bit, especially there in North Glen at 104th Avenue. Also downtown after Park Avenue. Seems like I spend half my life talking about I-25 here in the morning. Also getting busy southbound 225, Colfax to Alameda, and the westbound approach into downtown on 76 there, beginning at 74th Avenue. Do want to let you know, Loveland Pass closed down due to sinkhole repairs. Expect delays at the top of each hour as traffic will be temporarily stopped on I-70 there at the tunnel to allow hazardous material trucks through the tunnel there. That's been reported by CDOT, so that will hang you up there at the top of the hour here at 7 o'clock. Your forecast, cloudy, occasional rain showers and thunderstorms possible. Look for a high around 60, right now 55 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Stretch your dollar with Sonic's new everyday value.
Seatbelt on. Seatbelt on. Look, I can't put it on for you, and you know the cops are out there, right? If you don't wear your seatbelt, you get a ticket. Don't be an idiot. Who's a smart driver?
All across the country, cops are cracking down. Click it or ticket, day and night. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud sponsor of AM 760 Radio. The solar electric systems installed by Independent Power Systems in 2008 alone prevented 530 tons of carbon dioxide from entering the atmosphere. Did you know that's the equivalent of planting more than 12,000 trees? Independent Power Systems also installed the solar electric system at Coors Field. Independent Power Systems, 303-443-0105, and online at www.solaris.com.
This Memorial Day weekend at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. Buy a grill or patio furniture and you could save three ways. One, with our low prices. Two, with deferred financing. Keep your cash and pay later. Three, entertain at home versus going out. Special deferred financing. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 27th. U.S. only. See store for details.
Turk visited Jay yesterday.
How's he doing?
Jay is, he's doing, he looked better than he did the last time I saw him. So, I was encouraged by the way he looked. I think he's a little depressed being in the hospital for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be depressing, you know?
Absolutely, man.
I mean, he's been in and out, I think, five times, but it seems like, you know, at least 7-8 weeks of the last 3 months he's been in the hospital.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean,
he looks okay, but I just know mentally he's just, you know, fed up with it. And
who can blame him? Yeah, who can blame him? I know. I'm heading over there today. Hopefully I won't get a parking ticket.
Here's what you do, Dave. Just go down to the next street there after the hospital entrance.
Yeah.
And there's metered parking on one side, and on the other side there's free two-hour
parking. Just like two-hour parking, yeah.
That's where I always go. I'll walk an extra half a block and not plug money into those Denver meters.
Yeah, well, if you're going to plug money into it, and then you're going to get a ticket for having your nose up like 2 inches. God. What is it, 33,000 new tickets?
Hey, we did have a guest on.
In 2008?
Spokeswoman Ann Williams from the Denver Public Works while you were gone.
Yeah, what'd she say?
She said that the city's not fleecing us, that basically the amount of money that it went from like 16 to 20 million increase, that's due to because of the increase in ticket prices. You know, they kind of raised the fine.
But didn't the Denver Post story say they've issued 33,000 new tickets?
Yes, and they claim, you know, a lot of that had to do with the DNC being in town as well last year.
Oh, come on. 33,000. I mean, come on. Come on, man. I don't buy it.
She claims we're not being fleeced by the city and they're not using parkers to make up for budget shortfalls.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Nobody believed her.
Yeah, nobody.
Our audience
good.
Did.
I hope not. It's not believable. Speaking of not believable, did you see this... It's going to be a movie about John Hickenlooper coming out? This documentary about John Hickenlooper? I mean, is John Hickenlooper that interesting that there's a whole, like...
Like, national documentary
or
local documentary?
Like a kind of semi-national documentary.
Businessman gone politician?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I'm reading it here on Westword. Patty Calhoun. John Hickenlooper didn't even know he had a cousin named George until one day in 1991 when a fellow in town for the Denver Film Festival went over to the brewing company, Wincoop Brewing Company, for a beer. Hickenlooper isn't a very common name. Anyway, this cousin of his has made a whole movie about John Hickenlooper called Hicktown. I mean...
I'm getting in line.
I mean, I'm not. I'm kidding. I know you are. Is John Hickenlooper that interesting?
Like, it might be.
Whole movie about him? I remember hearing about this. He got caught dropping the F-bomb on tape. I think it's in this film. You can hear John Hickenlooper drop the F-bomb. Yeah, that's right. F the press.
Makes him more likable.
Yeah, sort of. I don't know how I feel about Hickenlooper. He's
taken a lot of guff from Jay over the years.
Yeah, I don't really... He definitely doesn't impress me, but he doesn't offend me all that much, although he's like most Colorado Democratic politicians. Most, not all. He definitely hates organized labor. I mean, that whole thing where he was fighting the city councilman, Chris Nesbitt?
Yep, that's him.
On that bill to give workers a 90-day warning if they're going to get laid off when the city switches contracting companies. His opposition to that, you know, that just suggests he's not really, Hickenlooper's not really a fan of labor and working people, which is not surprising. He's a, you know, a lot of business owners, especially a lot of in the restaurant industry, aren't huge fans of, let's put it this way. I don't want to make a blanket statement, but the restaurant industry has been fairly hostile to working people over the years. Not all restaurant owners, but the restaurant industry. So I'm not surprised by that about Hickenlooper. But I don't know how I feel about him. Sometimes I think he does a great job. Sometimes I think he does a not-so-great job. And I know people are still pissed about the snow stuff.
You know, I think that it's, you know, the responsibility ultimately comes down to him and his office there when snowstorms hit and stuff doesn't get plowed. But, man, you can't control that kind of stuff. I mean,
yeah, and I think it's, I mean, I wasn't here for the big snow, the big one that he took all the flack for.
Right.
It hasn't been that bad.
No, it hasn't been that bad.
Then again, we haven't gotten hit.
We live in Colorado, people. Remember where we live.
I know. Well, that's true. That's true. All right, 6:31. I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. After the break, we're going to open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. We're going to have a debate between State Representative Ed Casso and Governor Bill Ritter's Cabinet Secretary Don Maris, who heads the Colorado Department of Labor. And we're going to be talking about Governor Ritter's veto of that bill to give unemployment benefits or allow workers who are locked out to file for unemployment benefits. Ritter is taking a huge amount of heat in day two of this story. A number of state legislators out there, I mean, using some of the harshest terms to describe him, saying that he has sided with the greediest corporations, that he's made it almost impossible for people to go out and campaign for him. So stick around. We're going to duke it out after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, traffic's still pretty nice for us. If you're heading out on the highways this morning, we do see some of the normal jams starting to build up on I-25, mostly for you southbounders heading out at Northland, 104th Avenue, also after Park Avenue, getting closer to downtown. Also, things really starting to halt on 270 eastbounders. They're heading into Denver, York Street to Vasquez. Really building there. Also on westbound 76 in Commerce City at 74th Avenue. If you're traveling in the high country, I-70 is going to be shut down briefly at the top of the hour. Got some sinkhole repairs going on Loveland Pass, so those trucks carrying hazardous materials will need to be let through the tunnel there, and they will shut it down to normal traffic. Your forecast, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of rain in the morning, then a chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the upper 50s. Current downtown temperature, 56 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Arapaho Basin is still open. Don't miss the Memorial Weekend Beach Party, including the Festival of the Brew Pubs on Sunday and free concerts Saturday and Sunday. Get there early on Sunday for your collector's mug and unlimited beer tasting. Visit their website at arapahobasin.com.
Now there's a lot of ways you can stay connected to us. You can listen to AM 760 on presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, the movies.
When it comes to identity theft protection, ordering a free credit report is like going to the movies just for the previews. But if you get your credit report from Identity Guard, then you get a veritable double feature of expert telephone support as well as 21st century tools and technologies to help protect your identity. All this from the company that's protected over 20 million people. Yes, that's right. 20 million is a lot of people. So call Identity Guard today, sit down, have a large popcorn, and get real identity theft protection and a very happy ending.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault, a $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
The winner of American Idol.
You are evicted.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown. Next year, Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th. Showbiz.
Details and secure online ordering of your custom PC. Assembled in Parker, Colorado. It's as easy as 345PC.com.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Okay. It is time now to open the AM 760 Progressive Dojo.
Prepare to make the jump to light speed.
We
fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei! Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei! Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei!
That is the opening of the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. We're going to debate it out now. On the line joining us, we have State Representative Ed Casso, the sponsor of the bill that Governor Ritter vetoed 2 days ago. The bill would have allowed workers who are locked out of their jobs to apply for unemployment benefits. And on the other side, and also on the line, we have Don Morris, who is the director of the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. He is an appointee of Governor Ritter's, and we thank them both for joining us. Okay, just to preview this, preface this, I will do my best to at least for purposes of this debate, stay in the middle here and let you guys debate it out. Just to preface, there's been a lot of sound and fury after this veto. Ed Casso, who is on the line with us again, the state representative, he has said in the newspaper today, Governor Ritter has aligned himself with greedy corporations and shown his true colors. A number of state representatives are in newspapers across the state complaining about this veto and criticizing Governor Ritter. So we'll start with you, Don Morris. Thank you for being here. What do you say to the criticism about the of the veto of this bill? What is your response? We heard a lot of the criticism yesterday. What is your response to it?
Well, good morning, David. And I guess I'd start by saying it's a little bit harsh to say the governor has aligned himself with quote greedy interests. I mean, all the things we've done this year and in past years, but especially this year for working people are pretty impressive. I mean, we passed unemployment insurance benefits that'll increase benefits to people, 13,000 new beneficiaries every year who are out of work. We're going to get additional benefits because of the work that we did, and we were pleased to have Representative Casso co-sponsor those bills. So I guess the first message that's very important to get out there is I think we've done a heck of a lot in our three sessions, but particularly this session for working people. It's pretty impressive, the FASTER program, getting people jobs on transportation projects. And, in fact, probably 90-95% of those projects will be federal prevailing wage projects, so they'll be paid a higher wage. And the governor, you know, he suffered some blows for increasing the fees that are needed to fund those projects. So on that score, I would say let's at least talk about the good things that we've done that I think are making a difference for working families. The veto... you know, we talked from day negative one, I guess, on this bill this year with legislators about how the timing of this bill was very difficult, that we knew that the contracts for the union that was actually sponsoring the bill were coming up and that they were going to be at the negotiating table. So that put the governor in a very difficult position. It's as though parties to a lawsuit run to the legislature to try to change the law to impact their position, and it's just it's not the best way to go about making policy for an entire state. So You know, I understand people are upset. I guess I'm not asking not to be upset, because I understand when you aren't successful on something like this, it can be disappointing. But you got to understand that this bill, which was put in, wasn't put in by the governor. He asked them not to do it from day one. Sort of forced him into this position, and he decided that it was just not a good idea to make a decision that was going to impact directly the ongoing negotiations and could affect the outcome of what really is. Collective bargaining really is intended to have those that are represented and the employer have a seat at the table to duke it out how they're going to duke it out. And to have the state jump into that just didn't make sense. So I guess those are some initial thoughts off the top of my head.
Okay. Okay. So that was Don Maris. He is the head of the the director of the Colorado Department of Labor. He is an appointee of Governor Ritter. You just heard his defense of the veto of the bill. We're going to go to Ed Casso now. He's conferenced in here. He's the state representative who sponsored this bill. What about the timing of this, State Representative Casso? I had read, it's my understanding that in the bill, that the timing of the implementation of this bill was significantly after, it would be implemented significantly after at least the stated deadline of both the union and the grocery stores in this labor dispute that's happening right now, that is being cited as this timing issue, that the governor doesn't want to get in the middle of that. What about that timing issue?
Sure, and good morning again, David, and good morning, Senator Maris, as well. Like Senator Maris said, I'd like to make some introductory comments, too. Senator Maris and I both agree that we, as Democrats, did a lot for working families. As he noted, I was a co-sponsor on almost every, if not every, one of those single bills, as were most of my Democratic colleagues. We did do a lot for working-class families. But when we get back to this particular issue, and we get back to locked-out workers, we hold this as a core Democratic value. And I know Senator Maris holds this as a value, too. When he was running for mayor in 2003, I saw him give a speech, and he spoke to the necessity of allowing Denver City workers to collective bargain and why it was so important, especially in tough economic times, which back in 2003, those were tough economic times as well. And so I know that Senator Maris agrees with me on that point. And I know the governor agrees with me on that point, too. I was with, as I noted in the paper a couple days ago, I was with the governor in 2006. I saw him speak a couple times at the local Amalgamated Transit Union. I saw him speak at the local Pipefitters Union. And we spoke really in regards to this particular issue. Ernie Duran was at a couple of those meetings, and he asked him point blank, if this bill would ever reach your desk, would you sign it? And the governor said yes. And so I believe that the governor is with us on this, and that's what makes it so disconcerting, is that I know that Senator Maris and the governor both believe that this is a core Democratic value. And just to single this particular issue out because it's politicized on both sides, I don't think is a good thing. Now, when we talk about the timing of the issue, was there. Senator Maris knows as well as I do, when the bill came out of the House of Representatives, it came out with a 2010 effective date. We definitely did not want to materially impact the negotiations, like the governor said in his veto. We wanted to make sure that it was going to be a fair process, that we were going to roll back to what the Republicans unilaterally did to us in 1999. And then we wanted to make it fair. Well, when we couldn't get a commitment for the governor to sign in, Senator Maris noted that fact, that the governor pretty much said from day one that he didn't want this bill to cross his desk. Well, we tried to give him as many concessions as we could to make it not be politicized for him. When we couldn't get a commitment for him to sign it with the 2010 effective date, Senator Tocktrup and the senators rolled it back to 2009. And even then, usually we don't put an effective date in there when we put a safety clause in the bill. It's, what a safety clause does is it makes it effective upon the governor's signature or the 30 days thereafter if he chooses just to let it become law without a signature. So we put an effective date of July 1st, 2009 on top of that safety clause to make sure that it didn't materially impact the negotiations that were currently going on. So the timing issue, again, I don't mean to disagree with Senator Maris, but I don't think the timing issue was an issue at all. I think the politics of it was an issue, and I can see that point, too. You know, us as Democrats, we live in a state that has been blue for a relatively short period of time, and we have a lot of independent voters that we have to attract when we go out to the campaign trail. But, again, this is a core Democratic value, and we should have no problem passing things like this. And I know that Senator Maris agrees with me. was a big supporter of his in 2003 when he was running for mayor on these particular issues, because he spoke to the working class people like House Bill 1170 did.
Okay, so that was State Representative Ed Casso, and we're going to go back now to Don Morris, who is the head of the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment, a former state senator. He is an appointee now of Governor Ritter. Okay, so the timing issue aside, we've got a disagreement there. The timing issue aside, here's what I don't understand. The idea that, okay, let's just assume for a second that that this may at some point impact some kind of labor negotiation, whether the ongoing grocery workers negotiation or another one. What I don't really understand is the frame that says that allowing workers who are locked out to apply for unemployment benefits is somehow unduly weighing in on behalf of the workers. It seems to me that if one set of workers who can't go to their job because of an employer action, that they can apply for unemployment benefits, that we shouldn't be singling out another set of employees if when they get locked out, that they can't get unemployment benefits. How is it that this issue has been framed of if the governor didn't veto the bill, he would have been unduly weighing in on behalf of one party in a labor management negotiation, as opposed to he simply would have, what is the way I see it, he simply would have repealed a situation that put the thumb on the scales on behalf of employers against workers.
Well, excuse me. Ironically and interestingly, if you read the end of the veto message, I think the governor thinks that this discussion, this issue is worth debating, and in fact understands the arguments and the merits of it. And for a couple of years has said, get this to me and I will certainly strongly consider signing it. Because of the policy around locked out workers getting unemployment benefits. But it is, it's just a little bit, I don't know, it's hard for me to have folks really argue that this bill coming up right at this time while these folks are sitting at the table isn't going to impact those negotiations. And I don't want to go down this road too far, but you know, I personally had discussions with some of the proponents of the bill and was told fairly early on in the process that a 2010 effective date was not something that they wanted and that they would support. So, you know, now the policymakers, Ed Casso and the good people in the legislature who were carrying the bill, may have in their political and their legislative role seen that as a way to do something. But I do know that the people involved at the table in the negotiations weren't too keen on that. But let me talk about the timing just one bit, because that's one reason I called in yesterday. One of the things for people to know is in my department, we run the unemployment division. So this is really up my alley, I guess. For us, even though the effective date was July 1st of 2009, and even though I hope it doesn't happen, but let's say workers are locked out in the next couple of weeks, some people have been floating the concept that the bill isn't effective till July, so it won't impact that piece. I mean, number one, I would say it impacts the negotiations regardless because it's just right there. But number two, we believe that there's a significant chance that if somebody filed for unemployment benefits after July 1st, even locked out before, that there's a significant chance that the new law would impact them. So I just, you know, we're not 100% sure of that because this kind of thing, and that's another important point, lockouts don't happen every day. This is a rare thing, and it right now in these negotiations, the rare thing is potentially on the table. And so the timing piece, you know, is a little cloudy, but I would say, number one, we didn't get the impression that a 2010 was something that the union wanted. And number two, July 1st, 2009 doesn't clear the air very much. But I wanted to pass those things on. Oh, last thing, I wanted to just kind of respond to Representative Casso. And, you know, I was proud to be in the legislature, House and Senate, and had a pretty darn good labor record. And I think with the governor, we've done some pretty good things. One of the things we did, because the governor does understand the value of collective bargaining, is He instituted an executive order to allow, for the first time, state workers to join an employee organization and to have employee partnerships and work with management. We're doing that right now. So he has, in fact, walked the talk and took some huge hits for that, still does,
But, you know, being governor is about a lot of issues, and sometimes decisions go your way and sometimes they don't.
Okay, that was Don Morris. Now we'll go back to Ed Casso. All right, State Representative Casso, to close out this discussion, what do you think? I mean, we've heard basically what we've heard is the administration, the Ritter administration, is sticking to the idea that, this was really a timing issue more than it was a substantive issue. You said that the governor has had committed. You heard him commit in speeches to ultimately signing this bill. Let's step back for a second and ask the question: what do you think will be the political fallout to Ritter? I mean, the comments in the newspaper, the comments throughout the media from so much of the, well, the Democratic, the core Democratic base have been really more harsh than I've really ever seen them. What do you think the political fallout will be? And do you think that the outrage over this move will ultimately move the debate forward and ultimately get what we all seem to want, which is passage of a bill like this?
Sure, David. And again, thanks Senator Mars for his comments. There's a few points that I'd like to make. I'd like to make first, in its iteration in various ways, 58 out of 59 Democrats in the House and Senate voted for this bill in some way, shape, or form. And so I think there's overwhelming legislative intent for us to pass something like this. Again, because it's a core Democratic value, and we have a lot of vulnerables that voted for this and that are going to be put out next year because it did not pass. We're not asking for anything that we didn't have for 30 years before 1999 when the Republicans unilaterally took this off the books. And 33 other states, by the way, give unemployment insurance benefits to locked out workers.
We're 33 not, other states, that is?
33 other states
okay.
give unemployment insurance to benefits to locked out workers. So we're not breaking any new ground here. Like Senator Mara says, this is one of our core values. And the governor did put himself on the line with collective bargaining for state employees. What we're asking for as Democrats and as Democratic legislators in the House is to be consistent. This is one of the issues, and it should not have to be one of these issues where we're fighting back and forth with the governor because we know for a fact that we believe in the same thing. There are a lot of other issues, and I agree with Senator Mars. We need to move to the middle if we're going to keep the control of the legislature and keep with the governor. And if we're going to keep moving forward in Colorado, we have to have a vision that appeals to a broad base of people, and we all understand that. This, unfortunately, isn't one of those issues where we need to be fighting on, and I unfortunately disagree with Senator Mars. We need to pass this bill, and it needs to be signed, and we need to do what the Republicans did back in 1999, not because we're being political about it, not because we're Democrats, but honestly because it's the right thing to do. And so I would just leave with that, David.
Okay. Well, that you heard it here. State Representative Ed Casso and Don Morris, the former state senator who is now the director of the Colorado Department of Labor, duking it out in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. We appreciate you you both taking the time this morning. And in the 7 a.m. hour, we are going to debate it out with the audience. So thank you both for being here this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Talk to you guys.
Thank you, David.
Okay.
Thank you, Tucker.
All right, 6:52. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. You heard the debate here. Governor Ritter still not coming on the show to talk to us about his veto, sending out Don Morris, his appointee. And we appreciate Don Morris being on the show. And now we're going to turn it over to you, 303-713-7600. We got open phones. What do you think about the governor's, well, the Ritter administration's explanation for its veto of the bill to allow workers who are locked out of their jobs to get unemployment benefits? You heard Don Morris stick to this timing story. He said, hey, you know, the governor, I think, supports it in concept, but he just didn't feel like the timing was right. You think that's that holds water? You think it's BS? Turk, what do you think?
I'm glad Morris at least has onions to come on here and talk about it.
Yeah, he sounded like he felt a little conflicted about it. I mean, he sounded like he supports it, but feels,
right.
I don't know, I just sensed he felt uneasy.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about the governor.
The timing thing is, I think it's a BS excuse.
But, you know, like you said yesterday, we've got to give kudos where kudos are deserved.
Yeah.
Governor Ritter kind of, some gay benefits went through yesterday, quietly got pushed through.
Yes. Yes.
So we got to give him kudos for that.
That's right. And I will update folks. I don't know why I missed that in my news update. I will update folks on
that
story.
Yeah, I got it if you want it.
I'll update everybody on that. So he gets kudos for that.
Kudos for that, but
Yeah, I don't think that the timing issue holds water. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We got open lines. Let's get a traffic update.
You got it, Dave. Still accident-free around the metro. Starting to see things build on some different highway stretches. Eastbound C-470. Going to be busy. Kipling all the way to Santa Fe. Also on 36 eastbounders coming in. Hitting snags from Pecos to 25. Same deal on 6th Avenue there around Federal. Trip down 25. Showing speeds in the 30s there. 104th to 84th again. In from 70 past Spear, also busy in Aurora, southbound side of 225 anyway, Yosemite to the interchange. The forecast, cloudy, occasional rain showers and thunderstorms possible. Look for a high around 60, right now 56 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Horse racing is back starting this Saturday at Arapahoe Park. Bet on great food, fun, and live horse racing this Saturday, Sunday, and holiday racing on Monday. First race at 1 p.m. Arapahoe Park in Aurora off E-470 at Quincy. General admission $3, age 55 and over $1.
You know what the Snuggies are?
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and Radiance systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try saw palmetto, but beta prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription beta prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try beta prostate risk-free. Call 1-800-491-8149 or click on the banner above to go straight to our website. Remember, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Here's that number again, 1-800-491-8149.
Hi, it's Tom Harbin to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill Wood Products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, it's cheaper to buy, and it helps Colorado forests and workers. Visit their showroom in Lakewood and mention this ad to receive 10% off on your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD, 303-205-WOOD, or lowershardwoods.com.
760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Come on into the AM 760 Progressive Dojo and tell us what you think about that debate. Was Governor Ritter's guy right or wrong? Do you really believe him? Let's go to the phones. Dutch in Westminster, you got about 30 seconds, Dutch.
Okay.
You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, David, I real quick synopsis. I got my training through my union and everything else. This is a corporation union busting tactic that has been around forever. You don't do as I say, we're going to lock you out. Number one, the guy from head of the state labor.
Right, Don Morris.
Don Morris. He never got to the point on why Ritter did it, really, except for timing, and that's.
Well, that was his. You're right. I mean, that they were sticking to the timing issue. They didn't want to get into the substance of it.
Yeah, and they talked all the way around the point, the fact that. The governor's made a real bad poopaw.
I completely agree. Sorry to cut it short, Dutch. I got to get the national news, but I think you're right, and that you're right. They did stick to the timing issue and didn't get to the substance. All right, stick around. We'll continue debating this out after the national news.
I had a great idea at work yesterday. So, I gathered my A-team to meet online, using WebEx. I passed the ball
to Carol in Atlanta, and I created some killer graphics. Then, I passed the ball to
Taz in San Jose, because I write the code that makes their ideas work online. Then I passed the ball to
Logan in Cambridge,
I'm kind of the keeper of cool. And hey, it was cool.
So now my idea wasn't just an idea. It was our hot new product line, created by our national development team.
Spread across 3 time zones.
And we couldn't have done it without passing the ball.
Using WebEx, the only way to pass the ball online.
Pass the ball. Get your ideas rolling. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code TIME to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset. Remember that code? TIME. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. Members of a Jewish congregation in New York City's Riverdale neighborhood are looking over their shoulders.
We'll just try to be a little more careful and look around, see if anyone looks suspicious.
The FBI says their synagogue was targeted for a bombing by a group of homegrown terrorists.
That's a little bit scary, nerve-wracking.
CBS's Randall Pinkston tells us an FBI sting led to the arrest of 3 U.S. citizens and a Haitian who tried to get their hands on explosives and Stinger missiles.
Anger, revenge, rage among the possible motives, according to federal authorities, of a terror plot which targeted Jewish Americans and the U.S. military. The alleged ringleader's parents are from Afghanistan. He says he was angry about U.S. military actions there and intent on doing something to America.
In a speech about an hour from now, President Obama will spell out his plans for the prison camp for terror suspects at Guantanamo Bay. Live to CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
And Frank, the president will warn that Guantanamo has weakened national security. He'll outline plans to try some terror suspects in federal courts, others before military commissions. He will defend his timetable to close the prison by next January. But he has not decided where to send the remaining detainees. Congressional concerns about the prospect of terror suspects on U.S. soil blocked funding for the prison shutdown. Setting the tone for the speech, an administration official says Mr. Obama inherited a broken status quo from the Bush administration. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
A Guantanamo Bay inmate accused of taking part in the deadly 1998 African embassy bombings will be shipped to New York to stand trial. It would be the first trial of a Guantanamo Bay inmate in a civilian court in this country.
Because he's not a 9/11 mastermind, because this is not a 9/11 crime here, he is a good candidate for a regular civilian trial in New York.
CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen. An Army memo leaked to USA Today says military commanders are looking the other way at drug abuse in the ranks. Live to CBS's Steve Kathan. Why is that, Steve?
It could be they're worried soldiers sidelined for treatment or punishment will cut the ranks. The memo is from the Army's Vice Chief of Staff, General Peter Corelli, who's been talking about the toll on soldiers since the rampage at Iraq's Camp Liberty.
We've got to help soldiers understand how they can cope with that stress.
In the memo, he says commanders should get soldiers the help they need when they need it, and treating drug abuse will reduce suicides. Frank?
Minnesota authorities say the mother of a 13-year-old boy with cancer may have taken him to Mexico for alternative treatment. Colleen Hauser and her son Daniel dropped out of sight after a Minnesota court ordered chemotherapy for the boy. Court-appointed lawyer Philip Ebert tells the CBS News Early Show running away isn't the answer.
Daniel will have a voice in court. Without him being here, he has no voice.
The government says the number of workers who filed new unemployment insurance claims fell a bit last week to 631,000. Just ahead of the bell, S&P futures are down 10 points. This is CBS News.
Right now, the Home Depot has 20% off all DeWalt Power Tool Combo Kits. Depending on the kit, you could save up to $130 on a workbench full of pro-quality, dream-come-true DeWalt tools. Which leaves you with two questions. Which kit to buy? And which project to get started on first? 20% off all DeWalt Power Tool Combo Kits. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 27th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Let's face it, you love a beautiful yard, but have better things to do than waste time weeding. A long-lasting way to keep areas weed-free is with Preen Weed Control Fabric. Nothing controls weeds longer and is chemical-free. Preen Fabric is ideal for new shrub beds and rough beds. And lay it down before planting veggies for a weed-free season with no chemicals. Preen Weed Control Fabric. Long-lasting, no-chemical weed control for new shrub beds, rock beds, and veggies. Visit preen.com. Preen works so you don't have to.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Wrestling fans will have to watch on pay TV or go to Los Angeles to see the event that had been set for Monday night at Pepsi Center. It'll be Nuggets and Lakers that night instead. Wrestling boss Vince McMahon says he had no choice but to move.
We are going to Staples. They called us up and they said, look, come on out, and here's the building. It's available, and you're welcome.
McMahon says they plan to wrestle at the Denver Coliseum in August instead. It's all about the image, but just because it says Coach or Louis Vuitton doesn't mean it is. Federal agents descended on vendors near the 16th Street Mall, confiscating more than 1,600 fake designer purses, sunglasses, and other items. The accessories would have sold for more than $1 million. And just in time for Memorial Day weekend, Independence Pass east of Aspen reopens this afternoon. Last year, heavy snow kept the 12,000-foot pass closed until June. Sports, Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Tonight, Nuggets and Lakers in L.A., tip-off 7 o'clock. The Braves beat the Rockies last night 12-4, the series finale this evening in Atlanta. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale, Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Southbound I-25 loading up and bogging down as you're coming out of Thornton and Northland just after 120th, taking you to 84th. You'll break loose for a little bit, then hit your brakes again downtown. Same deal for eastbounders on 270, getting busy on that approach to Vasquez. Outside the Metro, 25 looks pretty good between Castle Rock and Park Meadows. No problems to report on I-70 in the high country. However, Loveland Pass still closed due to sinkhole repairs. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Whether you're a business owner or a corporate CFO, your goal is the bottom line. With the full range of distinctive products and services, Colorado State Bank and Trust can help your business succeed. Call 303-863-4478. Long live your money. Member FDIC.
Right now, the Home Depot has 20% off all DeWalt.
Ladies and gentlemen,
presenting the one, the only,
entertaining. Technically, Michael Caine has retired. In reality, the 75-year-old actor admits that he finds it hard to turn down a script, a statement supported by recent roles in movies such as Dark Knight, Children of Men, The Prestige, and the new movie Is Anybody There?, now showing nationwide, in which Caine gives what many believe is one of his best performances yet.
This is the J. Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
7:06 here on the Front Range, going up to, well, my weather thing says 60 degrees.
That's about right.
All right. Well, can't even see the mountains today. Bummer. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. What we're going to do now, I'm going to do a mini news rundown, and then we're going to get to your calls about the debate we just had between State Representative Ed Casso and Governor Ritter's top labor official about that controversial bill that Governor Ritter vetoed yesterday. But again, first, a brief news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Okay, real quick. Good news, I think, and kudos to Governor Ritter. As Turk said, Governor Ritter this week quietly signed into law a bill that would allow gay and lesbian state employees to share benefits with their partners in the way married couples already can. So, you know, this isn't the criticism we've been throwing out there at Ritter on the unemployment bill, you know, is not personal to Ritter. I'm happy to give him big kudos when he does the right thing, and in this he's done the right thing. Political news, former Congressman Scott McGinnis officially entered the 2010 gubernatorial race as a Republican with little fanfare after critics have for weeks argued that he was caught on tape running without filing the appropriate legal paperwork. New CU study finds that asteroids that were thought to have killed all life on Earth actually may have created life on Earth. It's a big CU study challenging a major tenet of what we thought had happened at the beginning of life. Colorado State University releases tapes under threat of this newspaper lawsuit about its choice of a new chancellor. The tapes show that the CSU was worried about the perception that it was picking a quote-unquote a good old boy, Joe Blake, to head the to head the university, a sort of insider deal. These tapes come out under threat of this lawsuit. We'll have some more coverage of that, I'm sure, in the next couple of weeks. Nine News reports that one of Colorado's largest trucking companies has been registering and licensing itself out of state for 13 years to avoid paying millions of dollars in sales taxes during the state's worst budget crisis in decades. Glenwood Springs reports, this is a report from the Aspen Daily News, but city councilors in Glenwood Springs are expected to decide on Thursday whether or not they want to send a letter to Colorado's congressional delegation asking them to strip exemptions from a new federal law that exempts some of the oil and gas operations from clean water standards. So we've got a state-local fight brewing over energy issues out in Glenwood Springs. National news, Congress sent that bill to President Obama, cracking down on the credit card companies. Obama expected to sign it. That's great news. Obama also giving a speech today trying to answer critics of his proposal to dismantle some of the Bush-era policies on detention and interrogation. He's trying to push back on the pushback to his plan to close Guantanamo. Congress is not going along with it quietly. Financial Times reports that the former director of the U.S. government agency insuring private sector pensions refused to answer questions before Congress on Wednesday amid allegations that he had, quote, inappropriate contacts with Wall Street companies bidding for contracts to manage that agency's assets. Bad news here. Financial bill draws Obama signing statement. The Hill reports President Obama said his new administration would consider exerting executive privilege to withhold information sought by a new commission that Congress just set up to investigate the financial crisis. So Obama asserting executive privilege, saying it's his right to withhold information from the White House, from his White House and potentially previous White Houses, in this financial probe of what happened in the financial collapse. Here's one that's going to fuel the conspiracy theorists. Under a cloak of secrecy, some of the world's wealthiest people gathered in an unprecedented meeting early this month in New York City, a meeting called by Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, David Rockefeller. They said it was to discuss joining together to do more to help. You wonder if it was joining together to figure out how they can protect their assets. News of the weird, AP reports police in New Zealand have launched a major investigation and a manhunt for a couple who took the money and ran after a bank mistakenly put $6 million, or what's worth $6 million American dollars, into their bank account. Oh, and remember that story about the kid whose parents didn't want him to get chemotherapy, and the judge ordered the parents to give him chemotherapy in a cancer that is 90% curable with that chemotherapy? Yeah, the mother and the kid are gone. They're gone. Nowhere to be found. And then here's one last pretty creepy story. Wired News reports, you may not know it, but if you have a wireless router, a cordless phone, remote control, car door opener, baby monitor, or cell phone in your house, the FCC is now claiming the right to enter your home without a warrant at any time of the day or night in order to inspect it. The FCC has jurisdiction over radio frequencies, and the FCC is now saying it can use that right to bust into your house based on the fact that you might have a cordless phone or a wireless router. Pretty creepy. That's your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. 303-713-7600. It's going to open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo now. We heard the debate between State Representative Ed Casso and Don Morris, the director of the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment, over Bill Ritter's controversial veto of that bill that would have given workers locked out of their jobs by their employers access to unemployment benefits. We talked about this yesterday, and the fury has been incredible. The second day of this story, the newspapers are filled with attacks on Ritter. Ed Casso quoted in the paper saying Governor Ritter has aligned himself with greedy corporations. State Representative Sal Pace of Pueblo in the paper down there saying saying that Ritter's move would make it hard for Democrats to support his reelection and build support for him if he is the nominee of his party. Union workers, head of the Electrical Workers Union, said this is the third time Ritter's gone against the people who elected him. There will be repercussions. I have no use for the man. The International Union of Engineers, people are angry. I'm not surprised with his history. I walked precincts, manned phone banks, and voted for him. I will now campaign against him. We heard from Don Morris, who said, hey, it's not that the governor doesn't support this. It's that it's the timing issue. The governor didn't want to inject himself into the grocery workers' ongoing negotiations. State Representative Ed Casso said, well, we wrote this bill to not go into effect until July, and the grocery workers' deadline for the end of those negotiations is May 30th. So the timing issue is moot. So who do you think's right? Did you believe Don Morris? Do you believe what the governor's saying? Or do you think he really just sold it out to corporate interests? Of course, in the paper, the big corporate interests in this state are applauding him. The heads of King Soopers, Safeway, Albertsons are all applauding him. And remember, I pointed this out yesterday. The governor, after he got into office, had about a $250,000 campaign debt, and a group called Colorado Concern, which is a group of the wealthiest corporate CEOs in state, were instrumental in helping him retire that debt. Do you think his veto of this bill was a payback for that? 303-713-7600. Get in on the conversation. Again, 303-713-7600. Let's go to Denny in Boulder County. Denny.
David, help me. I'm an old guy. Explain what Dojo is or what's it mean.
As I understand it, a dojo is a general place in kung fu and karate to spar it out, to duke it out, where you have, like, you know, fights.
Well, you did not have one this morning.
No, it was not.
This was a pseudo-gentlemanly love-in. You know, when the legislator says, well, I know the governor and Mr. Morris, you know, Morris goes into this whole thing about the past things he's done for labor,
right.
You know. So
that's a standard, like, diversionary tactic.
Diversion.
Yeah.
This whole thing was a diversionary dance rather than a dojo. Let's get down and you know, talk about this, debate it. I love the concept of dojo, but...
Well, the problem is, I mean, look, the problem was, and I want to be clear, we continue to invite Governor Ritter on here. We would like him to come on here.
He does not have the onions to do this.
Well, you know, right, so he sent out, and what he did was he sent out Don Morris, who has been in the legislature, who sounds, I don't know, the way I heard it, Morris sounds like he is particularly sympathetic to the complaints about this and is in a situation where he has to defend the administration because he works for the administration. And so it ended up, you're right, the debate ended up being much more of like, you know, Casso and him seem like they have a good relationship and they didn't want to diss each other. But again, I read the quote in the paper, Casso saying the governor sided with the greediest corporations. So clearly people are pissed off. And I just wonder if, you know, if the audience out there thinks that Morris is, justification and Governor Ritter's official justification about this timing thing, whether you think it holds water.
I was not convinced, you know, the whole thing comes, you know, if it's about timing, the legislature passes a bill, you know, basically on the last day, and then the governor, when did he veto it? In the dark of the night?
Yeah, well, he vetoed it late in the afternoon,
you know,
a couple days ago.
And
right.
The only, you know, either it's a good bill or not a good bill. Either he's pro-union or, you know, pro the people who paid off his campaign debts. You know, it's very clear to me what's going on.
Well, right. I mean, and that's actually what's interesting about what you're saying is that, like, all right, let's say you accept, and I think it's a false premise. Well, let's just say you accept the premise of the timing issue. If Ritter supports the substance of it, shouldn't he actually, if he's really principally supports the idea that if your employer locks you out, you have a right to an unemployment benefit, unemployment insurance. That's what it is, because we're paying premiums. If Ritter really believes that in his heart, and he's looking at the situation now at the grocery workers union and saying, hey, I really believe this principle in my heart because I believe we have to stand by workers, then shouldn't he be rushing to pass this right now in order to make sure it impacts the grocery workers union?
You posed that precisely because you said, if this was a matter of integrity, or if it was principled leadership, you know, it would be a no-brainer.
That's right.
I think, can I just touch on Guantanamo also? I think if some governor and some legislator wanted to be really pro-American, they would contact the Obama administration and say, yeah, we will take the Guantanamo prisoners. We believe that our prison system and security.
That's happened. And up in Montana, the folks in Hardin, Montana, they have a prison up there. They have said, we will take the detainees. And this has been batted back and forth. And yes, that's already happened. It's a good point. And I probably should have updated you. I keep tabs on Montana news because I used to live up there, and that has absolutely happened. Hey, thanks for the call, Denny. 719, let's go back to the phones for one more call before the break. 303-713-7600. Do you believe the Ritter administration, that came on the radio show and said that, hey, they vetoed this bill just over timing, that they completely support the substance of the bill, is just a timing issue. Do you buy it? 303-713-7600. Angie, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David.
Hi there.
Angie from Louisville. I just have to say that over the past year, you know, I was a very early supporter of Bill Ritter and helped him in Boulder County, but he has just been such a disappointment in many ways. And, you know, the first veto that he did of labor, and the labor people were told, oh, you know, it's just a thing, and just be okay with this. And now it's like every time they turn around, they keep getting slapped in the face by this administration. Those people worked their hearts out for him. They, you know, gave money, they gave time, they convinced their friends to vote for him because somehow he was going to be, you know, this great progressive leader. And I just don't think he showed that. And I have to say, my husband is a very independent-minded person, and he just said, you know, I'd rather vote for the Republicans. At least they won't lie to me.
Well, that's a very good point. You know, it's like, at least you know where the Republicans are coming from. And you know, Don Morris made the point. Look, he said Governor Ritter's done some good things for organized labor, for workers in general, and, you know, we should think about the whole picture. And he cited the big thing that he cited was the Governor Ritter's executive order allowing public employees some union rights. Right? What Don Morris didn't say was that he's in that executive order. He banned public employees from ever striking, which, of course, if you know anything about unions, it's hard to be a very strong union if you don't have the right to strike. But the bigger point here is, when you actually look at this in terms of, has Governor Bill Ritter ever taken on a powerful interest, a powerful moneyed interest? Letting public employees unionize, first of all, it should be a no-brainer. You shouldn't be bragging about that. Everybody in this country should have a right to unionize. Secondly, public employees, whether they can unionize or not, that's not taking on a powerful interest. The grocery workers trying to prevent pension cuts that are being pushed by huge multinational corporations, that's taking on a powerful interest. Governor Ritter, it seems to me, didn't want to take on or to help those workers take on that powerful interest. And so really what you see is a governor who every time he is faced with a powerful moneyed interest, he starts backing away. To cover himself, he touts the fact that he's done some things that are good, but haven't really taken on moneyed interests. Now, I'll give the guy credit. The one time he's taken on moneyed interests, in my estimation, is when he tried to take on the oil and gas industry. And I cheered him on as much as I could in my column, in my blog, when I was on this show. But it seems to me that what he is showing is it's not really as much a labor issue as this guy is afraid to take on the fat cats in this state. That's what I think this is all about. Thanks for the call, Angie. 723, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talks. Going up to 60 degrees today on Thursday, May the 21st. Let's get a traffic update.
What a nice looking commute we have going on this morning, Dave. No accidents still around the metro. Not any being reported anyway. We do see some slower speeds, though, in the normal spots. Nothing really unusual. Southbound side at 25, full and northbound again. Once you get closer to downtown after I-70, westbound 76 and eastbound 270 approaches into the city, also showing speeds in the 20s and 30s. Also on southbound side of town, eastbound C-470, really busy in Littleton. It's been like that all week long. Kipling up to Santa Fe, going to be a heavy spot also after Broadway, taking you past Quebec. And in Aurora, southbound 225, busy now back past Parker Road all the way to I-25. In the high country, Loveland Pass is shut down for sinkhole repairs, so they will shut down the Eisenhower Tunnel at the top of the outer, let those hazardous material trucks get through. Also, US 6 shut down between 119 and 58 for upgrades to tunnels 1, 2, and 3. That's just west of Golden there. Your forecast, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain in the morning, then chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. Look for a high around 60. Current downtown temperature is 56 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
At Freeway Ford, we sell cars and trucks for less every day. Right now, get a loaded 08 Ford Explorer for just $16,900. That's a loaded 08 Ford Explorer in your driveway for just $16,900. Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford, 3rd and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
Hey again, it's Mr. Money from the Lodge Casino. I gotta tell you, some of these new games we have here are awesome. Like this one, Star Trek. It's even better than the show because you'll win cash and lots of it. Well, back to work. Anyone feeling lucky?
Yeah, I feel lucky at the Lodge.
That's the spirit, Fred.
I like to come to the Lodge because I like to win.
Why, thank you, Lisa.
Lodge Casino.
Your first choice for fun.
There are debt cures for almost every situation. No matter how much money you owe in credit card debt, all the information you really need is yours free when you call Smart Debtor right now for your free debt review. We were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that when we learned about debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we decided to give everyone who calls now a free debt review. That's right, absolutely free. Just call Smart Debtor now at 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218 and get the free debt review that everyone should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Again, 800-303-9218.
Hi, I'm Kate Berkeley of Cotman Transmission at Broadway and Yale. If you're in need of an honest quote or service on your vehicle, come see us at Cotman, where you'll never get the runaround. We pride ourselves on giving you superior service and straight talk about your maintenance needs. If money's tight, we also have financing options to get you back on the road. At Cotman, we're more than just transmission specialists. We're a part of the community, and we're here for you. Call us anytime, 303-761-8841. That's 303-761-8841.
This year, more than 186,000 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. This Father's Day, we team up with Major League Baseball and the Prostate Cancer Foundation to keep Dad in the game. Call 1-800-798-CURE and pledge any amount to the Prostate Cancer Foundation's Home Run Challenge. Again, that's 1-800-798-CURE.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Crow, cancer survivor. If you want to know where the leading cancer research is being done, check out City of Hope Cancer Center. New drugs, new treatments that are saving lives everywhere. For information, go to CherylCrowForHope.org.
I just lost my job, so I moved in with my parents, broke as all get out.
Workers should get money before CEOs get bonuses.
If the object is trying to help people get out of trouble,
the government is, at least in theory, elected by the people,
then maybe we should lower their salaries.
Therefore, it is the ultimate voice for the people.
It almost sounds like I had somewhat of, like, the swine flu.
Oh, my God. What if I had the swine flu?
There's better ways of doing that than torture in today's society.
I don't believe in war. I don't believe in weapons.
Give peace a chance.
AM 760.
I think that would be a terrific thing.
Colorado. Progressive Talk.
728, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin. I don't, you know, it's the first time I'm going to do this, but, and I love AM 760. Thank everybody here for allowing me the opportunity here, but that promo is so, that's bad. That promo where it's like, you got a bunch of whiny liberals being like, I don't know, it just sounds like a Sean Hannity caricature, you know? It's like every bad stereotypes of liberals. I think there was an earlier iteration where somebody was complaining that they couldn't go to the coffee shop anymore. We got to change that. We have to change that. All right. I'm going to go back to the phones on the AM 760. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo.
Does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei!
All right, the AM760 Progressive Dojo is open. By the way, I just looked up, I was asked, what is a dojo? A dojo, according to Wikipedia, which tends to be right about these things in a lot of ways, a dojo is basically a Japanese term which means, quote, place of the way. Initially, dojos were adjunct adjacent to temples. The term can refer to a formal training place for any of the Japanese do arts, but typically it is considered the formal gathering place for students of any Japanese martial arts style to conduct training, examinations, and other related encounters. The concept of a dojo as a martial arts training place is something of a Western concept. In Japan, any physical training facility, including professional wrestling schools, may be called a dojo. We call it the AM760 Progressive Dojo. So, you heard the Ritter administration defend itself, this veto of the bill to allow workers who are locked out of their jobs by their employers, not workers who are on strike, workers who are locked out of their jobs by their employers to get unemployment benefits. The Ritter administration says, hey, we're not really that opposed to the substance of this. We just were opposed to the timing. We didn't want to interject ourselves into this grocery workers' dispute. Two things wrong with that, I think. We heard Representative Ed Casso say that, well, first of all, the bill was written so that the timing, it wouldn't be implemented until at least about a month and a half after the deadline set for those negotiations in the grocery workers' dispute to end. And secondly, if Governor Ritter says that if the Ritter administration says he strongly supports the concept of giving unemployment benefits to workers who are locked out of their jobs, but he's just worried about the timing. He doesn't want to interject himself into this labor dispute. Well, there's a contradiction there, right? If he really believes in the concept, in helping workers, in backing them up, in saying that workers who are locked out of their jobs shouldn't be persecuted as the only workers who don't get unemployment benefits, if he really believes that, shouldn't he actually be rushing to pass this bill to help the workers in this particular dispute? Wouldn't that mean that he sees what's going on in this worker dispute as workers being disadvantaged by current law? There's a contradiction there, I think. 303-713-7600, what do you think? Again, 303-713-7600. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Dave in Littleton.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Morning.
I think Ritter is trying to say by timing is that the elections are coming up and he has to appease to a certain group of people so he can make sure he stays in office. And that's what most of these guys do, is just the only thing they're worried about is getting reelected. They could care less about if they're helping people out.
So you think timing, it's like he needs to raise a whole boatload of money and therefore he doesn't want to antagonize money for his reelection race.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, they would never come out and say that, but
no, but Bill Ritter's always been, you know, like I had kind of a, I shouldn't say personal running with him, but I had a vehicle broken into a while back, and the people that did it got caught, but Bill Ritter, you know, the police made it a point to tell me that Bill Ritter didn't want to press the case anymore because the car they were driving wasn't their car, even though they got caught in the act, since they were driving a car that wasn't.
So you've got some history with Ritter as DA, I guess, huh?
Yeah, he doesn't do anything for anybody unless it directly helps him out.
Well, you could say that for a lot of politicians too. Hey, Dave, thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
7:33, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Get in on the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Do you believe Don Morris, the Commissioner of Labor here in Colorado, the Secretary of Labor, Bill Ritter's appointee, who said, hey, he said it earlier in the discussion here, We had a debate about this issue. He said, hey, Governor Ritter, in vetoing this bill, you know, it's just a timing issue. He still supports the substance of it. Do you think that's true? Or you think that's BS? 303-713-7600. David in Denver. David.
Everybody's changing their name to David today.
I know. We got, this is the third me, the last caller, and you.
Yeah. Hey, you know, everybody can talk about, you know, this and that, and they can complain and whine. But I know that every worker has friends and family, and they can do what I'm going to do. I don't know what the consequences of this might be, but if they lock people out, I'm going shopping, and I'm going to fill my grocery cart with as much food as I can put in there, and then I'm going to walk.
I don't get it. You're going to
grocery carts and then walk out the store, and they can put it all back.
Wait, you're going to go to the place that they're locking out workers?
Yep. And fill my grocery cart and walk out the door without the groceries. And they can put all the groceries back. And they can do it over and over again. And I think if hundreds of people did that,
it would be sort of a civil disobedience.
Civil disobedience.
Civil disobedience.
Because I've never heard anybody being arrested for filling a cart and walking out the door.
Yeah, you know, I mean that's, you know, that's what the labor movement, that's what the labor movement is really ultimately all about. It's the labor movement is about direct action. And I think that, you know, if we get into a strike situation, the picket line is one form of direct action. And we're going to need to explore ways as a society, I think, if it happens, and I'm not hoping that it happens, but if it does happen, of how we can show solidarity. I mean, I think the first thing that we can do is, and I said this earlier when they thought there was going to be a strike earlier, is to not cross that picket line. I mean, that's the biggest thing that we can all do, is not even go into those stores. What will really bring management to the negotiating table in a real way is if consumers say, hey, we will not shop at a place that is trying to screw workers. And that is what's going on in this potential grocery workers dispute. Hey, David, thanks for the call. 735, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Come on in to the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. We're open to spar it out here. Governor Ritter sent his director of the Colorado Department of Labor onto the show in the 6 a.m. hour to debate Ed Casso, the state representative, about Governor Ritter's veto of the bill that would have allowed locked-out workers to apply for unemployment benefits. The Ritter administration is saying, hey, it was just a timing issue. The governor supports the substance of this. What do you think? BS, or do you buy it? Ed Casso, the state representative who supported this, did not buy it. He's all over the paper saying Governor Ritter's siding with the greediest corporations in this state and in America. Another, a couple of Democratic legislators coming out there and hammering their own governor. So there's a big backlash going on. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turner.
Still accident-free around the metro, David. That's a good thing. Southbound I-25, though, really heavy and slow up in Northland. Stop-and-go conditions, 120th now all the way down to 84th. Also heavy thereafter I-70, but speeds are pushing into the 30s and 40s after you get past about 270 there. Also looking really heavy jam southbound 225 Parker Road to 25. Going to be seeing speeds in the teens there. Really treacherous trip. Also eastbound 36 stop and go Federal to 25. And down south, eastbound C-470 heavy from Kipling to Santa Fe as you're making your way across Littleton and Highlands Ranch. But like I said, no accidents out there, which is always a good thing. US 6 shut down between 119 and 58. Got upgrades to the tunnels there. Also, Loveland Pass shut down for sinkhole repairs. Expect delays at the top of each hour as they let those hazardous material trucks through the Eisenhower Tunnel. Forecast, cloudy, occasional rain showers and thunderstorms possible. Look for a high around 60. It's already 57 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Don't miss UFC 98, Evans versus Machida, live this Saturday night. An epic showdown with UFC lightweight champion Rashad Evans battling Lyoto Machida. Plus, Matt Hughes versus Matt Serra. Order on channel 801 with your Comcast digital remote.
It's over for the Republicans for the next 40 years because they will be...
Hey, this is Tom Hartman here to tell you about independent...
Step Power Systems, a proud sponsor of AM 760 Radio. The solar electric systems installed by Independent Power Systems in 2008 alone prevented 530 tons of carbon dioxide from entering the atmosphere. Do you know that's the equivalent of planting more than 12,000 trees? Independent Power Systems also installed the solar electric system at Coors Field. Independent Power Systems, 303-443-0105. And online at www.solarips.com.
Planting some trees this spring? Choose the right nursery. Creekside Tree Nursery in Boulder. Since 1993, family-owned Creekside Tree Nursery has been offering customers superior quality trees, a solid warranty, outstanding customer service, and prices below their competition. Well worth a small drive to Boulder for this kind of quality and value if you live in Denver. No fancy sales, no gimmicks, just bigger, better trees. Creekside Tree Nursery. Visit us at creeksideboulder.com.
I'd pick up a bag for him, too. With dandelions popping up, this weekend is the perfect time to put down a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Plus 2. This is Ashton Ritchie. See you in the yard.
Are you tired of wasting billions of dollars bailing out AIG and Wall Street, paying themselves billions in taxpayer-funded bonuses? There is an alternative bold stimulus plan for all of America that will actually work. The one-year mortgage holiday 9-point stimulus plan is the silver bullet solution to curing the housing, credit, and banking crises. The mortgage holiday plan will immediately jumpstart our economy, create millions of jobs, stimulate growth, and generate economic prosperity because we, the people, will be able to decide how best to spend, save, and invest our own money. Apartment, office, and retail tenants could also benefit by receiving a 25 to 50% monthly savings in rent. The mortgage holiday is the ultimate trickle-up stimulus plan that will empower all of Main Street. So call your representatives in the White House and tell them to support the mortgage holiday that's supported by the majority of Americans. For details, visit SaveOurEconomy.com. Paid for by SaveOurEconomy.com.
I knew I had a problem.
I tried counting calories, eating and eating.
Nobody else could possibly understand.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people stop their compulsive eating and start living a healthy, rewarding life.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. In the U.S., 505-891-2664, or find us on the web at oa.org.
Right now, the Home Depot has 20% off all DeWalt Power Tool Combo Kits. Depending on the kit, you could save up to $130 on a workbench full of pro-quality, dream-come-true DeWalt tools. Which leaves you with two questions. Which kit to buy? And which project to get started on first? 20% off all DeWalt Power Tool Combo Kits. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 27th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Medeski, Martin, and Wood.
Yeah.
Wow, look at you.
I know. I got a little bit of...
How'd you know that one?
Because I like Medeski, Martin, and Wood. They're sweet. I also like Galactic. But Medeski, Martin, Wood's the OGs.
You like Galactic, too?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Wow, impressive.
Yeah.
Hey, they're playing the Mile High Music Festival this year.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. All right. Programming note. If and when you hear the following sound clip, just know that it means that Turk is in a bad way. As we always say on this show, that when things get bad, it's like, for Turk, it's like piloting the Millennium Falcon without Chewbacca. So when you hear this sound and then you're calling up the show, be nice to Turk because it means things are going a little bit haywire in the control room.
Prepare to jump to light speed.
They're getting closer.
Oh, yeah? Watch this.
Watch what?
I think we're in trouble.
If I may say so, sir, I noticed earlier the hyperdrive motivator has been damaged. It's impossible to go to light speed.
We're in trouble.
That's what it feels like to be John Turk when things start going haywire.
I can't believe you dug up that audio clip yesterday. That's classic.
Oh, man.
It is so fitting.
It is classic. I think we're in trouble. Yeah, we're in trouble. 7:42, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, the AM 760 Progressive Dojo reopens. What do you think about Governor Ritter sending on his director of the Colorado Department of Labor this morning to debate Ed Casso, the bill sponsor of the bill that Governor Ritter vetoed that would have given unemployment benefits to those who are locked out of their job. The Ritter administration, first of all, refusing to provide Governor Ritter on this show, refusing to have him come on this show. We've been asking him to come on this show and explain himself. But we appreciate Don Morris, the Department of Labor and Employment Director, coming on. But and Morris, on the substance, says, hey, it's just a timing issue. The governor really supports this, but it's a timing issue. He doesn't want to interject himself into the ongoing labor dispute between the grocery workers and the grocery stores. Do you buy it? 303-713-7600. I certainly don't buy it, because the bill was written so that it wouldn't be implemented until after the deadline of those grocery worker negotiations. Also, I don't understand how the governor or the administration can say it basically supports the principles of this bill, but doesn't want to inject itself into this dispute. If it supports the principle of this bill, shouldn't it be rushing to inject itself into this debate, into the grocery workers' negotiation, in order to fix what it says it considers an injustice? 303-713-7600. We'll go to the phones now. Here we go. We'll go to David in Appleton. You're the third David in a row to call. David in Appleton.
David, is that cubed?
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
You know, it's funny. I called up a show the other day. I got David Crosby being interviewed by David Bender. So that was also David.
Bunch of Davids.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the government hands out business licenses to companies. We don't have to hand out business licenses to companies. If a company is a parasite, there is no way in the world we should be handing out a business license to a company that's not gonna, that's gonna pollute us and leave us injured, pollute us or, you know, take all the money, out of the state and not do anything to support the schools or the arts, or they're not gonna pay taxes or anything like that. There's no reason for the state to hand out money to a company, to even give a business license to a company that's organized crime or anything like that, right? So, it's actually, when you look at the concept of a living wage, the idea, what does it cost to live in Denver? What's it cost to live in, you know, Pueblo? What's it cost to live in Mac? You know, this whole idea of a living wage is, you take an economist, whether that economist, an economist should be an unbiased kind of person, you know, hired maybe by the state, and you get it backed up by the Chamber of Commerce or something like that. What does it really cost to live in an area? And then if a company comes in and starts paying wages that are so low, so uselessly low, that that you can't survive there, then that means that the county's tax base is going to fall apart. It's not. It's going to have to come up with all sorts of weird financial gizmos in order to survive. There's no way in the world that if the state cuts its own throat by not protecting the people that live there, and they only protect the big corporation that wants a business license to suck all the money out of town, it just doesn't even make sense.
Well, we used to, you know, as a country, I mean, a long time ago, look at the chartering of corporations in that way, that the government chartered corporations, that basically business license. To charter a corporation, the corporation had to agree to a basic set of principles, and that the government, as the representative of society, had the right to charter or not charter a corporation based on whether the corporation was seen to be beneficial to society as a whole. That whole principle has really gone away. I mean, it still technically exists. The government still technically has the right to not charter or not license a company, but it so rarely ever uses that power. It's pretty pathetic. It is really pretty pathetic, and you're absolutely right that you'd hope that out of this era of this economic meltdown that we get back to principles where we say, you know what? Society comes before individual private interests. Thanks for the call. 747, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's going up to 60 degrees on this cloudy day here on the Front Range. What do you think of Governor Ritter's, the Ritter administration's rationale for vetoing the bill to give unemployment benefits to workers who are locked out of their jobs? We had a big debate in the 6 a.m. hour. Governor Ritter refusing to come on the show, but sending his director of the Colorado Department of Labor,
onto the show to debate Ed Casso. The Department of Labor, Don Morris, saying, hey, it was just a timing issue. The governor really supports this. Do you buy it or do you not buy it? Do you think the governor is sold out to private corporate interests that are now applauding him for vetoing this bill? 303-713-7600. And by the way, if you want to express your opinion to Governor Ritter, call him at 303-866-2471. 303-866-2471. We'll go back to the phones now. Let's go to Jeff in Denver. Jeff.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
All right.
Hey, I just want to say I really, really love your show. I think you're one of the greatest guys out there. But I think what would sound really good would be Governor Sirota. Did you ever think about getting into that?
Oh, boy. I think for a moment I thought about doing direct electoral politics maybe 15 years ago as, like, I never actually did anything about it, but I might have thought it was a decent idea. You never say never.
Yeah,
and
you're just such a breath of fresh air, man.
Well, I appreciate
your demeanor and everything and intelligence is just, it's just great.
Well, I really appreciate it. I mean, here's the thing. The reason I say never is because it's not necessarily that I think I'd want to do it.
Right.
It's that I think that you can't ask people to be involved in the political arena without you yourself being willing to and being open to the idea of being involved in all aspects of the political arena yourself. So if you ask me, would I ever do community organizing? The answer is I have done a little bit of it, and I would do more of it. If you ask me if any part of political and civic engagement, would I ever be open to being a part of it, my usual answer is yes, because I think we need more people involved in these things, more people willing to go out and run for office, be a part, an active part of a community organization, and all the other things that we really define as civic engagement. We all have to be willing to. I'm not saying we all have to do it, but we all have to be open to it, because if you think that there's a problem of an insulated, insular, out-of-touch political class, you have to at some level be willing to, if called upon, if the opportunity presents itself, to be involved in that. So there's an unclear answer to your question.
Sure. One other thing, I can't wait until the youth of this country is running the show. Just, we got to get rid of all these gray beards, these old gray beards, and, you know, that are all about lobbyists, you know, running the show and all.
Yeah,
that.
Man. I mean, I think if there's one thing, you know,
and they don't have the prejudice either, the young people.
Well, that's true. And that's true. And if there's, you know, a lot of good things came out of the Obama revolution, as they call it. And one of the best things, I think, is that it really has, I think, inspired a lot of people to say, hey, maybe I should be really, really actively engaged in this arena. So I am excited, as you said, for more of that generation to get into the process. Hey, thanks for the call, man. 751, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll get back to your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, I got our first highway crash of the morning. Westbound 76 approaching 88th. Traffic not that bad around this accident, though. You will start hitting the brakes at 96th. Things heavier there after 74th Avenue. Stop-and-go situations, mostly on the southbound side of I-25. First 120th to 84th, again from 70 past Spear. Same deal on southbound 2 1/4 Parker Road to the interchange there at the Tech Center. Really a pretty standard drive going on for us right now. Like I said, just one crash out there. Westbound 76 at 88th. Forecast, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain in the morning, then a chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. Look for a high around 60. Your current downtown temperature is 57 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
So everyone's talking about energy tax credits, and you're wondering, how do I qualify? The answer? Contact K&H Home Solutions. They have the products and the know-how to get it done. Call K&H at 303-421-7100. That's 421-7100. Or visit khwindows.com.
You know, there's never a good time for a major plumbing problem. You always want it to work. Hi, this is Ken Moon for Drain Solvers.
Are you still waiting for economic stimulus to trickle down, but you still need a PC now? 345PC.com can help. We have two different PC packages priced at $345 and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. A new PC is as easy as 345PC.com. Visit our website at 345PC.com for complete details and secure online ordering of your custom PC. Assembled in Parker, Colorado. It's as easy as 345PC.com.
Large Corvette showroom, great Corvette service. Buy your next new or used Corvette from people who care. DenverCorvette.com is PureFoyChevrolet.com.
7:53, now's the time we talk to Mike Spear, the Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage. 303-749-2770. 303-749-2770. There's been a wave of new economic data over the last couple weeks. The market bouncing around, and so we always ask every time at this time of the morning, we asked Mike to give us an update on where the market is and what is coming up. Mike, what do you got for us?
Well, we did get economic data again today, David. The government reported that 631,000 people filed for first-time benefits last week. That's unemployment benefits. Stop and think about that. That's a weekly increase. 631,000 new people added to the rolls.
It's mind-boggling.
Jobless. It is. It is. And these numbers, you know, we've talked about this before, David, but these numbers roll off our tongue like a statistic, and we forget behind every 631,000 new people in a week filing for claims, that's a person, that's a family. You know, it's really kind of staggering and buckles my knees. And so I'll tell you, every morning we should get up and thank God that we've got a job and also.
Yeah, well, how's the market reacting to it?
The market does not like it. The Dow's down 112, 115 right now. The Nasdaq's down 12 and a quarter. The S&P's down almost 10. The Russell's down 3.5, so it's not liking it. And I would think that people should try to figure out how to do the most with their money right now, and that's where we come in.
Mike Spear, the Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage, 303-749-2770, 303-749-2770. If you don't want to put your money under your mattress and you want to find ways to actually invest it in a really, really up-and-down tough climate, give him a call, 303-749-2770. Again, 303-749-2770. Talk to you tomorrow, Mike.
All right, David, thanks a lot.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview,
yeah.
And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard's a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Colorado National Guard. Aired by the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Galactic. Nice. 7:55, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk. In the next hour, we're going to talk to Andrew Bacevich, the best-selling author of a book called The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. So stick around for that. Now we'll get back to your calls about Governor Ritter's veto. Let's go quickly to Anthony in Aurora. Anthony.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment about the last David that you had on the show when you guys were talking about government in general saying yes or no to certain businesses.
Right.
I have to admit that it's really nice that, you know, anyone that has any entrepreneurial spirit with $50 could license with the state of Colorado. I think that's great, and it got us a lot of opportunity. But I also agree that we should look at some of these companies that are, you know, entering in, because Colorado is actually still a pretty big hub for headquarters, that we actually pick and choose who's going to actually be great for us. But unfortunately, it always comes down to politics, and there is a lot of politics historically in allowing businesses to do one thing or allowing them. There's companies that, you know, in order to build a new place, they have to update roads, they have to pump all this money in civically and everything else, and that's a lot of politics. And then I know historically, even with like car dealerships with signs and balloons, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, if a municipality doesn't like car dealerships in general, they'll make it extremely hard. Oh, you can't have this type of sign, you can't have this, can't do that. And then politically, it gets moved around, and then ultimately they end up getting it anyways because certain people get greased or certain, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the issue with business licenses is that I think you want it, the presumption to be innocent, right? You want to have an open business climate. You want to say, hey, if you want to do business here, the presumption is you can do business here, and we've set up laws and rules that you got to play by. The issue is when those companies don't play by those rules over a course of many years, the government has the right to say, hey, ultimately, you know, first sanction them and ultimately say, get out. And our government rarely ever does that. And our government rarely ever is willing to take on those corporate interests, and it should be willing to take it on. Hey, thanks for the call. All right, stick around. Andrew Bacevich, the best-selling New York Times author, after the national news.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, an anti-gay marriage group exploits children to get its message across, and Michael Steele wins a mini victory.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Attention, Colorado residents. This is an important consumer alert.
Hi, folks. I'm Michael Mack.
And I'm Chris Gottsmer.
We are the Credit Card Lawyers of Colorado. If you're in credit card debt, bankruptcy and hiring a debt settlement company are not your only options. In fact, did you know that credit card debt can be wiped out in as little as 60 days without bankruptcy? Call 800-877-5000 and learn how to qualify. Now more than ever, credit card companies will work with Colorado residents to actually forgive most of your debt without bankruptcy. And unlike bankruptcy and debt settlement scams, no upfront fees are required. You can get started on this program without paying a dime in fees. 800-877-5000. 800-877-5000. TheCreditCardLawyers.com. TheCreditCardLawyers.com.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. In a major speech a few minutes from now, President Obama will respond to the fallout from a crucial decision he made soon after taking office.
Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
Mr. Obama will defend that timetable. CBS News national security analyst Juan Zarate says he has no choice.
To not do it would be not only destructive to his credibility, but also compound the image problems of Guantanamo.
An image the administration says amounts to an al-Qaeda recruiting poster that has weakened national security. The president will explain how some detainees will face federal court trials while others will go before military commissions. I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. Now with more CBS News, here's Frank Settapani.
Suspected terrorist Ahmed Gailani is being sent to New York to stand trial for the 1998 African embassy bombings that took more than 200 lives. He'd be the first Guantanamo inmate tried in this country in a civilian court. Military justice expert Ron Meister.
The court system is a tried and true method of finding out who these people are, what they've done, what laws they've broken, what standards they've violated, and if they're found to be guilty, what is the appropriate punishment.
Four alleged homegrown terrorists have been charged with plotting to blow up Jewish targets in the Bronx and shoot down military aircraft. New York City Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly.
They stated they wanted to commit jihad. They were disturbed about what was happening in Afghanistan and Pakistan, that Muslims were being killed.
Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. $36 million later, not so good. CBS's Steve Kathan explains.
They're called puffer machines. Air blasts in security portals to dislodge explosive particles.
CBS 4 covered this man with explosive residue.
Reporters have investigated them at airports where they've been tried out. Now the TSA is scrapping them. They were unreliable, and dirt and humidity caused breakdowns. The manufacturer tells USA Today it was a torturous four-year trial.
The state of Texas has agreed to spend more than $100 million to improve conditions in 13 institutions for the mentally disabled. Reporter Corey McLagan covered the story for the Austin American-Statesman.
53 state school residents had died in a period of about a year from preventable conditions like respiratory failure that could have been the result of lapses in care.
Five Birmingham, Alabama police officers have been fired for being an unconscious suspect who was ejected from his van at the end of a car chase. City Attorney Lawrence Cooper says the police had done everything by the book until then.
If we haven't had that lapse in judgment, those officers would probably be getting awards as opposed to being terminated.
The Labor Department counted 631,000 new applications for unemployment insurance benefits last week. The index of leading economic indicators rose 1% in April. In early trading, the Dow Industrials are down 129 points. This is CBS News.
Do you have to travel to be on summer vacation? What about making home your vacation destination? At Lowe's, we say define summer on your own terms, like changing your summer scenery by painting some rooms a new color. Right now, you can receive $5 off 1 gallon cans and $20 off 5 gallon buckets of qualifying Valspar paint via mail-in rebate. Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend to get everything you need to get your summer projects done. Lowe's, let's build something together. See store for details. Offers available 521 to 525. Offers valid in U.S. only.
You know, my wife calls me a penny pincher, but I prefer the term penny stretcher. See, this summer, I'll earn double points from Econolodge and Roadway Inn hotels for every stay. So I get free nights faster thanks to the Choice Privileges Rewards Program. And as all you fellow penny stretchers know, those double points can add up to a lot of loose change jangling in your pocket. Book your stay with Econolodge or Roadway Inn at choicehotels.com or 800-4-CHOICE to qualify.
Members and points when paying qualifying rates. Valid 521 through 813.09. See choicehotels.com for details.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Two Republicans now say they'll run against Governor Ritter next year. Former Congressman Scott McInnes has filed paperwork, along with Evergreen businessman Dan Mays. Governor Ritter's veto of a bill that would have extended unemployment benefits to locked-out workers has labor unions upset. Arliss Carlson's a member of the union in contract talks with the supermarkets.
I think all workers should feel betrayed by Governor Ritter.
If the workers strike at one supermarket, the other chains say they'll lock out workers. Denver's economy is rebounding stronger than any other American city. That, according to a real estate contributor to NBC's Today Show, Barbara Corcoran puts the Mile High City ahead of Raleigh, San Francisco, and Seattle, saying factors such as job growth, population growth, and a vital downtown are playing into Denver's financial recovery. The Denver Post reports Corcoran also took into account a well-educated population and no overbuilding building of condos or offices. Sports, game two of the Western Conference Finals tonight, Nuggets and Lakers in L.A., a 7 o'clock tip-off, and the Braves and the Rockies in Atlanta this evening. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale, Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where Boulder-bound drivers on 36 really starting to slow down just after Sheridan towards Wadsworth. Southbound I-25, still sluggish downtown. Starting right around I-70, taking you towards Spear. Speeds are going to drop into the teens and 20s through that stretch. There's a crash in the cleanup stages. Westbound 76 on that approach to 88. Doesn't sound like it's really slowing anybody down now. US 6 is shut down. This between 119, Colorado 58. They're going to be doing some tunnel upgrades west of Golden. That project's going to wrap up at about 2 this afternoon. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Tired of happy hour specials that really aren't so special? Try the new Grand Happy Hour at Grand Lux Cafe, weekdays from 4 to 6 at Park Meadows Mall. They have daily specials on appetizers, beer, wine, and today's featured cocktail, the Mojito, is only $5.
Right now, the Home Depot has 20% off all DeWalt Power Tool Combo Kits. Depending on the kit, you could save up to $130 on a workbench full of pro-quality, dream-come-true DeWalt tools. Which leaves you with two questions. Which kit to buy? And which project to get started on first? 20% off all DeWalt Power Tool Combo Kits. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 27th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Progressing.
We progress it.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love it too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
8:06, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 60 degrees, well, it's going up to 60 degrees on the Front Range here. This morning, we're going to shift gears now, and we're going to go to a really great guest that I've been really excited to talk to, Andrew Bacevich. He is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He's got a really incredible and intimidating biography, if I must say so. He is a former, retired U.S. Army colonel. He's going to be here at the Tattered Cover in Lodo on May 28th. Dr. Basevich is a professor of international relations and history at Boston University. He received his Ph.D. From Princeton before joining the faculty of Boston University. He taught at West Point and at Johns Hopkins University. So thank you for being here this morning.
Oh, I'm glad to join you.
Okay, so your book, we'll just start out with the premise here, The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. American exceptionalism, most people listening in probably know that that basically refers to this idea. Well, actually, I'll let you tell us what that idea really means, American exceptionalism, and what does it mean that we're at the end of American exceptionalism?
Well, I think in its purest form, American exceptionalism means that Americans have long believed, perhaps from the very beginning, have believed that we are the new chosen people. And that as a new chosen people, we have a mission to perform, a mission in history, a mission to the rest of the world, and that in the pursuit of that mission, we should be allowed to exercise or to claim prerogatives allowed to no other nation. So it's a sense of uniqueness and of confidence and of empowerment that really goes back to the founding of the Anglo-American colonies in the 17th century.
We're talking to a doctor and former retired, well, not a former retired, but the retired Army Colonel Andrew Basevich. His new book is The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He will be at the Tattered Cover in Lodo on May 28th. And this book is, well, it's pretty controversial only in the sense that it comes after the Bush era, which I think, well, if not the pinnacle of the perception of American exceptionalism, then certainly American hubris. What does this mean if this is the end of the era or the end of American exceptionalism? What does that mean in practice?
Yeah, I mean, the argument I try to make in the book is that, whether or not you or I today would view the claims of American exceptionalism to be legitimate. I think historically, those claims, that sense of entitlement and of specialness, actually served the nation very well for a long period of time and helped to give the rise of America to the status of great power a moral impetus that made it almost irresistible. So that if you look at the long story of America from 1776, let's just say arbitrarily, mm-hmm. 1945, the end of World War II, when we really had emerged as the most powerful nation in the world, I think that this belief in our uniqueness and mission actually helped to sustain that project. But I go on to argue that in the post-war era, and especially beginning probably in the 1960s, about the time of the Vietnam War, this sense of specialness and entitlement has ceased to be useful. Again, quite apart from whether or not the idea makes any sense, that our sense of specialness, and this applies in particular, acutely so, in the era of George W. Bush, that this sense of entitlement is no longer making it possible for us to become more powerful and to enjoy ever greater abundance and to enjoy ever greater freedom. Quite the contrary, this sense of entitlement, and again, George W. Bush expressed it in very powerful terms, is actually causing us to squander our power, to undercut our prosperity, and I think it is compromising our freedom. And therefore, what we need to do is to recognize now that these ideas no longer serve our purposes. We need to recognize that if God has chosen, has a chosen people, there's nothing in Scripture that suggests we're that people. And above all, we need to now begin to recognize the imperative of living within our means. That, I think, that notion, of course, in the past 6 or 8 months since the economic crisis bit, has become a bit of the conventional wisdom.
We're talking to Andrew Bacevich. His new book, The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He will be at the Tattered Cover in Lodo on May 28th. I encourage you to go to that event, ask him a bunch of questions. He's about one of the best experts we have on foreign policy, on military history. So let me play devil's advocate here for a second. So if this idea of American exceptionalism is not serving us well anymore, what about the notion that, and I'm not saying I subscribe to this, but it's thrown out there a lot, which is that if we don't continue, we the United States, if we do not continue to behave in pursuit of that exceptionalist idea, if we do not portray ourselves or posture as the moral force,
right,
and an interventionist force, really, in the world, that there will be a vacuum.
Nation.
Yeah, there'll be a vacuum, and maybe it'll be China, and you know, China's not really a democracy. Not really, it's not a democracy. Or maybe it'll be China. Maybe it'll be Russia, which is a whole other problem. Or it'll be non-state terrorism. What about the idea that we'll leave a vacuum if there is not this exceptionalist ideal?
Well, I would want to emphasize that it's not an either-or proposition. In other words, the way our discourse on foreign policy tends to operate, for reasons that are very difficult for me to understand, is that anybody who suggests that American power has limits, anybody who suggests that perhaps we're overstretched, immediately invites the charge, well, you must be an isolationist. I guess you just pull up the drawbridges and turn inward. Well, the United States has never been an isolationist nation, never. So this isolationism is a myth. So the question is not, are we the sole superpower, or will we revert to an isolationism that in fact is imaginary. The question is, what realistically should we attempt to accomplish in the world, and what realistically can we attempt to accomplish in the world? Always beginning with the question, what is it in our interest, in the interest of the American people, to undertake? And if I could cite the President Bush's global war on terror as an example of what I mean. And the president, in the wake of 9/11, and his speeches said this quite explicitly, decided that it was incumbent upon the United States of America to eliminate tyranny from around the world, to eliminate evil. He launched an unnecessary war in Iraq because he expected that a quick and easy victory in Iraq was going to set in motion a process whereby we were going to transform the entire greater Middle East, thereby removing the conditions that give rise to jihad. Well, let's take a look at how that has played out. I mean, here we are 6-plus years later. We've spent $1 trillion in Iraq. We've lost over 4,000 American soldiers. And there's precious little evidence that our exertions, however great they may be, are going to bring about this fundamental change in the way the Islamic world works. So from my point of view, we need to acknowledge that that project, the project that was styled as the Global War on Terror, has failed irrevocably. And so it is incumbent upon us to try to come up with a more plausible, sustainable, and realistic approach to dealing with the threat posed by violent Islamic radicalism. It is a threat. but it's not a threat that we can deal with by invading and occupying countries with the expectation that somehow we can determine the fate of these places. And, I mean, frankly, one of the things that concerns me about President Obama's approach to things is that even though he wants to try to get us out of Iraq, we'll see if he succeeds, in many respects, he seems hell-bent on repeating the Bush experience in what the Obama people now call AFPAC. So it's not a question of either lead the world or withdraw from the world. It's a question of, realistically, what do we need to accomplish and what can we accomplish?
We're talking to Dr. Andrew Bacevich's new book, The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He will be at the Tattered Cover in Lodo on May 28th. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to get back to some questions for him. He just said that he's concerned that we may be repeating some of, not all of, but some of, the Bush administration's mistakes. I've got a couple follow-up questions, so stick around here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. We will get back to this interview with Dr. Bacevich after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Traffic is looking pretty good for us this morning. Only had one highway accident. That's already out of our way. It was just a little bit earlier there on westbound 76, but nothing really going on out there except some slow speeds, mostly in the usual suspect spots, southbound I-25, I-70, past Spear, seeing speeds improving up in Northland, trying to get out of Northland and Thornton. Also stop and go southbound 225 Parker Road to the interchange. Seeing more traffic heading westbound on 36 now, Sheridan to Wadsworth, again there after Church Ranch, and also on the south end of town, got the normal jams there in Highlands Ranch and Littleton, eastbound C-470, first from Wadsworth to Santa Fe, again from University up past Quebec. And also let you know, Loveland Pass shut down. Sinkhole repairs going on up there. They will shut down Eisenhower Tunnel at the top of the hour to let those hazmat trucks through. So do expect some delays there. Also, US 6 shut down between 119 and 58. Still doing some work on those tunnels there. Forecast, cloudy with occasional rain showers and thunderstorms possible. Look for a high around 60. Right now we're at 56 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Planning a wedding or an upcoming remodeling project?
Hi, it's Tom Harbin to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetlekill Wood Products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetlekill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, it's cheaper to buy, and it helps Colorado forests and workers. Visit their showroom in Lakewood and mention this ad to receive 10% off on your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD, 303-205-WOOD, or lowershardwoods.com.
Get this. Joey and me were supposed to go to this concert next week, right? But then something terrible happened. Joey was driving without a seatbelt. But he didn't wreck. No, he got pulled over. Now Joey has to pay for a seatbelt ticket instead of a concert ticket, and I have to go by myself. How lame is that? So Joey, if you're out there, you're an idiot. Wear your seatbelt or you'll get a ticket.
All across the country, cops are cracking down. Click it or ticket. Day and night. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Landmark Lincoln Mercury says, hello, hybrids. It's gas, it's electric, it's smart, it's the most fuel-efficient midsize sedan in America. And it's here at Landmark. The all-new 2010 Mercury Milan Hybrid will go over 700 miles on a single tank of fuel in the city. The Milan's technology and quality is surpassed only by its stunning design. Landmark Lincoln Mercury has the largest selection of new Lincoln Mercury product, including hybrids, in the state. Serving you since 1919, we are the only exclusive Lincoln Mercury dealership in Denver. We continue to thrive with no layoffs because Landmark has achieved high customer satisfaction for many years. We are proud participants of Ford Motor Company's Owner Advantage Program, which protects your purchase in the event of job loss. For the ultimate non-pressure buying experience, stop in and test drive any of our spectacular Lincoln Mercury product at 5000 South Broadway and online at buylincolns.com.
Volume claim based on total retail sales for the state of Colorado based on 2008 RL Polk data.
DeWalt Power Tool Combo Kits. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 27th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Yep.
guess who's back?
Welcome.
Ah, yeah.
Randy Rose.
I missed you like crazy. I really did.
Randy Rose is back on AM 760, weeknights 7 to 10.
Well, you know, I was off the air for 3 months. I just sat in my pajamas and washed, you know, like semi-regularly, just to keep the bacteria level. I think I'm the cause of the swine flu, actually. I think I did that. Sorry about that.
Randy Rhodes, 7 to 10 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hey, 22, I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. On the line with us, Andrew Bacevich, his new book, The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He'll be at the Tatter Cover in Lodo on May 28th. And before the break, you said that you're worried, a little bit concerned, that the Obama administration may be on the brink of repeating some of the Bush administration's mistakes. Tell us more about what you specifically mean.
Well, I mean, and let me be clear, you know, the nothing that the president has said suggests that he buys into the grandiose claims of his predecessor. You know, President Obama is not vowing to eliminate evil from the face of the earth. And I would say that his expectations in Afghanistan are indeed at least somewhat less hubristic than Bush's expectations in Iraq had been. So that's all to the good. Nonetheless, I think a strong argument can be made that he's betting his presidency on this AFPAC military enterprise. I mean, your listeners all know sort of the basic facts, that we're increasing our troop commitment to Afghanistan. We have been ratcheting up the targeted assassination tax in Pakistan on both levels. One of the results is a substantial number of civilians being killed by Americans. I mean, certainly those are accidental deaths, but nonetheless, the fact is that they inflame anti-Americanism and play into the hands of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and basically serve to make these problems all the more difficult. So the president is taking a militarized course in trying to deal with these two countries. And I think I'd make the argument, in particular with regard to Afghanistan, that our interests simply don't require that level of investment and don't require us to take the risks that he's undertaking by making Afghanistan Obama's war.
What is an alternative course in Afghanistan? Is in your mind, is it basically get out of there, sort of confine it, contain what's going on there, the bad stuff to there, and that should be the goal? Or is it a different tact of, I guess you'd call it, engagement that isn't only military power?
Well, I guess the option I would urge him to explore, and you know, let's be honest, this is a complex situation, and there's no guarantees that any course of action is going to succeed. But what I would want him to examine is, well, first of all, to ask exactly what our interests are there. And I think that our interests really don't go much beyond wanting to ensure that Afghanistan does not become what it was in 2001, namely a base from which jihadists launch attacks against us. That apart, I don't think we care any more about Afghanistan than we care about Uruguay. So what's the best way to ensure that it doesn't become a base for jihadist attacks? How do we deny the jihadists the access and the opportunity to set up base camps? I think the answer lies in recognizing the way Afghanistan works historically. And the way it works historically is that it's governed by warlords. That Afghanistan essentially has never been governed effectively from Kabul, by a government that has institutions that can effectively employ power across the entire landmass. So we should, I think, explore the possibility of providing incentives to these warlords who run the place anyway, that they will govern their little patch of ground in ways that are consistent with their interests, namely to keep Al-Qaeda out. We provide them with incentives, which probably means money, so that they will not allow Al-Qaeda to set up base camps. No guarantee that would work, but I think it's at least worth exploring. And to the extent that it would certainly work at a far, far, far lower cost than the militarized approach that Bush began and that Obama has, I think, endorsed.
We're talking to Andrew Bacevich's new book, The Limits of American Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He'll be here at the Tattered Cover in Lodo on May 28th. So if I hear you right, I mean, you're not only advocating you're not only identifying the end of American exceptionalism and how American exceptionalism doesn't serve us well right now at this time in our history, but also it sounds like you're urging a far more, I hate using this word because it means so many different things to so many different people, but a more pragmatic approach. You know, this idea that, you know, George Bush had put out there, we always have to be pushing for the democratic ideal. This sounds like much more of a pragmatic idea. You know, if warlords run in Afghanistan and that's the best way to prevent the rise of a Taliban-style potential terrorism threat to the United States, then potentially backing up those warlords should be something that's on the table rather than pushing for some sort of quote-unquote democratic ideal.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I find it almost inexplicable the way that Afghanistan has kind of hijacked the entire debate over foreign policy, and that we, regardless of which side we're on the question, we all sort of feel obliged to be able to articulate America's plan for Afghanistan. I mean, this underdeveloped country, this huge country on the other side of the earth, you know, if you were to ask yourself which country is more important to the United States of America, Afghanistan or Mexico? I mean, I would say the answer is self-evident. Mexico is orders of magnitude more important to the United States than is Afghanistan. If you were to ask, to which people do we owe a greater moral debt for mistakes that we've made in the past, people of Afghanistan or the people of Mexico? I'd say an easy question to answer. We owe much more to the people of Mexico, given the course of U.S.-Mexican relations over the past couple of hundred years. And yet, if somebody said, well, I think a U.S. foreign policy priority should be to fix Mexico, you know, to create institutions that are legitimate and effective, whether the Mexican police or the Mexican army, that we need to end Mexican poverty, that we need to eliminate the drug trade in Mexico, and that even if this is going to cost us many billions of dollars over the next 15 years, we need to do that in Mexico, you'd be laughed out of the house.
Yeah, you know, I've never heard it put that way. But when you put it that way,
the notion of spending the next 10 or 15 years and spending God knows how many tens of billions of dollars and losing substantial number of American lives to try to fix Afghanistan, somehow this becomes a reasonable proposition to discuss, and I find it frankly bizarre.
Well, what do you attribute it to? And we're talking to Andrew Bacevich, his new book, The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He'll be here at the Tattered Cover in Lodo. What do you attribute that to? I mean, you must have some thoughts on how insane the debate is and how it got that way.
It's really the unrecognized victory of the Bush administration, that in the wake of 9/11, the president portrayed violent Islamic radicalism as a threat that was equivalent to, you know, Nazi Germany or Soviet communism, and that dealing with this threat became the be-all and end-all of U.S. foreign policy. Now, and despite the fact that, President Bush's own effort to deal with this problem yielded such negative results in places like Iraq, nonetheless, the idea that the Islamic world has now become priority number one, that idea was firmly planted and I think continues to survive in Washington and D.C. and among people who talk about foreign policy. And so that Mexico, again, a country far, far, far more important to us than the United States, continues to be basically an afterthought, whereas a place like Afghanistan and increasingly now Pakistan, they absorb the lion's share of attention and therefore absorb the lion's share of resources.
We're talking to Andrew Bacevich, the author of The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He'll be at the Tattered Cover in Lodo. Last question for you. Where does this leave issues in the future? Because I'm guessing based on world history they will come up. Issues like Rwanda, like Darfur, where they're, well, at least within this skewed and rather crazy a foreign policy debate, as you've identified it, where they are portrayed as utterly non-strategic priorities. If they are a priority at all, they're humanitarian, but not necessarily in the American direct American interest and sort of self-interest. Where does it leave this?
That's a fair interest. I mean, a fair question. I mean, for somebody who portrays himself as a realist who wants foreign policy to be connected to some kind of a thoughtful recognition of where our interests lie, you know, how do you deal with these unspeakable situations that in fact do develop from time to time, with Rwanda being, I think, the most recent and most egregious example? My response is simply this, that there are circumstances. Individuals may differ on exactly whether this case fits the bill or that case fits the bill, but there are circumstances when there is actions occur that are so evil, that are so awful, that are so contrary to our most basic human values, that we're called upon to act even when there are no direct concrete interests involved. We should have acted at the time of the Rwanda genocide.
But then can't somebody throw at you Afghanistan at you then? Under the Taliban?
Let me just finish, okay? Well, I mean, on that score, Rwanda circa 1994, Afghanistan circa 2009.
Right. Well, that's right.
But nonetheless, there would be disagreement over whether or not different cases rose to that level that it was imperative to act. I mean, I think a better case that illustrates the difficulty of determining what's the threshold that impels you to act would be Darfur. Okay. Having said that, let me just finish the thought, and that is that even when we confront the case where we're compelled to act, we should do so without any illusions about what exactly we can accomplish. We're not going to go into a place like Rwanda. We can go there and stop the killing. We cannot go into Rwanda. We should not go into a place like Rwanda with the expectations that we're going to turn it overnight into some kind of garden of democracy. We can stop the killing. We can't necessarily eliminate the conditions that give rise to the killing. Now, we did try to fix Somalia in 1993 before we left it. We had gone in to stop the starvation and succeeded. But trying to fix Somalia, which is what Clinton did early in his administration, simply produced war, produced violence, and ended in the Mogadishu firefight when suddenly Americans discovered that Americans were getting killed and dragged through the streets. So one would have to go in with your eyes open and with sort of modest expectations about what you can achieve.
Andrew Bacevich, his book is The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. It was a New York Times bestseller. It's now out in paperback. He will be at the Tattered Cover in Lodo on May 28th. I just want to say on a personal note, it's really an honor to speak with you. I've seen you interviewed before. I've read some of your articles. It's really great that somebody is out there with your stature talking about these issues, because if we're going to get this debate, this discussion about foreign policy into much more rational terms, it requires people like you being out there. So thank you for taking the time, and more generally, thank you for being out there.
Well, thanks very much for having me on your program. I've enjoyed it.
Talk to you soon. That was Andrew Bacevich. His book, The Limits of American Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He'll be at the Tattered Cover on May 28th in Lodo. I encourage you to go. We'll go to the phones after the break, take your calls on this topic. Do you think we are at the end of the era of American exceptionalism? Do you think we can get to the end of that era? Do you think we can actually create a debate, a discussion, a way we look at foreign policy in this country that says, hey, we cannot be the world's police force, and trying to be the world's police force is actually making us weaker. Do we have the maturity as a country to actually get to that debate, or are we still so immature that if you raise that notion, you're going to be called unpatriotic or weak or an isolationist? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Got some stop-and-go conditions building westbound Turnpike now. Sheridan to Wadsworth going to be a struggle for you. Eastbounders tapping the brakes there after Federal. Closer to Pecos as you're approaching I-25. More stop-and-go on southbound I-25 around downtown, 70 past Spear. Also seeing things build up on the northbound side, beginning around Washington Street, going to break loose after 6th Avenue. And normal jams on the eastbound side of C-470, Kipling to Santa Fe. Again, westbounders, Quincy Avenue to 285. And we do have a few surface street crashes out there. Four cars involved in one on Parker Road at 225. Another one at Chambers and Evans, and one at 8th and Aladdy. That's just west of Spear there near Capitol Hill. The forecast, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain in the morning, then a chance of showers, isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. Look for a high around 60. Your current downtown temperature, 57 degrees. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Need to find a reliable business? Did you know that the Better Business Bureau can connect you to trustworthy businesses? Just ask Dale, CEO of your Denver Boulder BBB. Get the information you need before you spend money. Visit denverbbb.org. That's denverbbb.org.
Hey, it's Tom Harbin, and in case you haven't heard, you can hear AM760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and
why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
Wood, 303-205-WOOD, or lowershardwoods.com.
Most of us sit around and we don't think about the day that we may need help from a personal injury lawyer. But you know, when that time comes, you better get the right kind of help. Hi, this is Jay Marvin. I want to talk to you about my two friends, Mike Turner and Scott Henderson. Now, Mary and I once went through medical malpractice, and I got to tell you something. Unless you get the right person, you're really going to be in trouble. Plus, on top of that, if you have something happen like another motorist hits you or you get into an auto accident and their insurance and your insurance won't follow through and won't give you the treatment you need, or if you're hurt on the job and your employer or the insurance you pay for won't help you out, then you need to see Mike Turner and Scott Henderson. These guys are pit bulls, and they will fight corporations and insurance companies down to the last mile. Give them a call. They're Progressive Trial Lawyers, and they do a great job. 303-300-1661 or on the web at MikeTurnerLaw.com. That's 303-300-1661 or on the web at MikeTurnerLaw.com.
Landmark Lincoln Mercury says, hello, hybrids. It's gas, it's electric, it's smart, it's the most fuel-efficient midsize sedan in America, and it's here at Landmark. The all-new 2010 Mercury Milan Hybrid will go over 700 miles on a single tank of fuel in the city. The Milan's technology and quality is surpassed only by its stunning design. Landmark Lincoln Mercury has the largest selection
selection of new Lincoln Mercury product, including hybrids, in the state. Serving you since 1919, we are the only exclusive Lincoln Mercury dealership in Denver. We continue to thrive with no layoffs because Landmark has achieved high customer satisfaction for many years. We are proud participants of Ford Motor Company's Owner Advantage Program, which protects your purchase in the event of job loss. For the ultimate non-pressure buying experience, stop in and test drive any of our spectacular Lincoln Mercury product at 5000 South Broadway and online at buylincolns.com.
Volume claim based on total retail sales for the state of Colorado based on 2008 R.L. Polk data. Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems. A winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
Here on the front range, it's going up to 60 degrees. We just had on Andrew Bacevich, the New York Times best-selling author, about his book The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. Pretty sober view of where American foreign policy is and where it can be and where it needs to go. He actually said that he's afraid that the Obama administration is repeating some of the Bush administration's biggest mistakes as they relate to Afghanistan and Iraq. Andrew Bacevich, of course, is just really well respected all across the political spectrum. Just as an example, on the front pages, on the front cover of his book, he's got a quote from Bill Moyers saying, Andrew Bacevich speaks truth to power no matter who's in power, which may be why those of both the left and the right listen to him. He's basically saying that this idea of American exceptionalism, this idea that we are the chosen people, has served us well in the past. It's given a moral impetus to our interventionist foreign policies, but that it is not serving us well now because it is justifying a kind of hyper-interventionism that's actually inflaming anti-Americanism and taking our eye off the ball. I thought his most interesting point was the one about Afghanistan and Mexico, right? I mean, that really made a really interesting point. We're so focused on, so willing to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars and potentially lose troops' lives in a place like Afghanistan, all the way around the other side of the world. And if you said you wanted to do the same thing with the same amount of resources to try to fix Mexico, which is a far greater immediate impact on the United States, the problems there, you'd be laughed out of the room in Washington, D.C. But that just shows how skewed our whole foreign policy debate really is. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Can we move into an era where we are not such a hubristic country in terms of our foreign policy? Or if we do that, are you afraid that there's going to be a vacuum and that, like, you know, China or Russia or a bad actor will move into the vacuum of world leadership and you're worried about that? 303-713-7600. We've gone from super local to completely global. Let's go for it. 303-713-7600. Anne in Denver. Anne.
Hi.
Hi.
David, I wanted to first tell you how much I so appreciate your intelligence and your interpersonal skills for this forum. You're doing an incredibly great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And that reminds me, if anybody, we put up a post at www.am760.net in the forum there asking for your feedback on the show, what topics you want to see, what topics you're sick of, weigh in there or email us, or instant message us, I should say, at www.am760 for your feedback. We need as much input as possible. So thank you very much, Anna. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. My question is, I thought the purpose that we were pursuing Afghanistan was because of the threat of the either Taliban or the Al-Qaeda to use Afghanistan to kind of like start or position themselves to attack Pakistan, which the Taliban actually is doing, and then the purpose of that is to obtain the nuclear weapons.
Well, there is a domino theory. Yes, there is a domino theory, I think, behind the impetus for Afghanistan. Now, whether you believe that in the domino theory or not, that's another question. But the domino theory, sure, is that if you allow Afghanistan to become a vacuum and revert back to Taliban rule and then become a training camp for terrorists and then become a strong terrorist base that can ultimately threaten Pakistan, threaten to take over Pakistan, then suddenly you could have down the road a nuclear-armed, essentially terrorist problem in the Afghanistan-Pakistan region. Now, I think there are ways, and I think I'm not going beyond what Andrew Basevich told us in the last segment in saying that my guess is people like him who have this much more sober look at and are foreign policy experts would say that there are ways of preventing that. There are ways of addressing that concern without doing what we're doing right now, which is actually occupying the country with a big military force and spending a huge amount of resources there. There's a way to contain that threat without going all the way in as we've gone in. And potentially the fact that we're there in an occupational role, we are potentially speeding up the possibility of that domino theory by giving the Taliban and by giving other terrorist forces there a reason or a foil to play off of, a reason to organize their intifada, their uprising. Mm-hmm. And that what he's basically saying is that's exactly what we want to prevent. And that by thinking that we can just drop in there and with the use of military force and occupational force stop that, we may actually be intensifying the thing that we want to stop.
So do you think somebody like, and I, of course I've gone blank on his name, but the man who was the creator of Three Cups of Tea in educating and supporting the smaller parts of Afghanistan, that's the better way to go.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. That there's soft power, right? There's diplomatic engagement, there's humanitarian engagement, but that ultimately, I mean, I think he makes the broader point of you have to assess the real direct threats to your country, and that even with the threat of a Taliban resurgence, when you put it up against Mexico, right? We got border violence, we got a serious drug trade problem that's creating, if not a terrorist state, a potential narco state. I mean, the CIA has said that Mexico's about to become a failed state. If you put Afghanistan on a list of what are big threats to the United States, it's clearly not the number one threat in reality, even though it's being treated as the number one threat by our foreign policy and our military policy. And thanks for the call. 303-713-7600, we're talking about the potential, quote-unquote, end of American exceptionalism. Can we change our foreign policy? Are we a mature enough nation to change our foreign policy into one that is far less hubristic? Or are we not mature enough? Or is anybody who talks about this going to be accused of being a traitor or weak on terrorism? Dr. Andrew Basevich, his book, The Limits of American Power, The End of American Exceptionalism, a New York Times bestseller. He'll be at the Tattered Cover in Lodo on May 28th. We just had him on. So he's making a pretty controversial assertion that we have to end our exceptionalist view of ourselves as like the chosen people, the world police person. Because it's weakening us. It's weakening our country. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Jack, you're on AM 760.
Yeah, hi. You know, that was an excellent interview. And I'm in so much agreement with what he was saying that I go back to Santayana, the Spanish philosopher, who said that if you do not recall history, you're bound to repeat it. And that's basically what we're doing in Afghanistan. Our cup runneth over with arrogance in Afghanistan.
I mean, it is Afghanistan is known as the site of what's called the Great Game, right? Basically, there's a great book out there, old book, called The Great Game, about how Afghanistan has been fought over by huge empires for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And they call it the Great Game because these empires tend to get sucked into Afghanistan and get deflated by it.
Well, that's
by
what
the experience.
Happened 45 years ago.
That's what happened to the Soviets. That's
yeah.
right, absolutely.
The English.
At the English, exactly right. And the fear is, and what Dr. Andrew Bacevich was saying, was that the fear is that he's fearing that the Obama administration is repeating the biggest mistakes of the Bush administration. And number one of those mistakes is working to escalate rather than de-escalate the situation.
See, as smart as Obama is, he doesn't have that foreign experience, which is so important. You have to understand people before you can attempt to help them. And we have no business being the policemen of the world anyway.
Yeah, it was interesting. Dr. Bacevich said that the American exceptionalism ideal had helped us in the past, in the pre and post-war period, but now it's actually making us too hubristic and actually inflaming the very dangers to our security that we seek to stop. Hey, Jack, thanks for the call. 852, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. It's going up to 62 degrees today on Thursday, May the 21st, here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, we might as well talk about I-25. Let's start on the southbound side up in North Glen. Speeds improving into the 30s there, 120 to 84th, but still heavy volumes. Also real heavy southbound side, I-70 past Spear. Now that stretch stop and go, so you will be hitting the brakes quite a bit. Northbounders, no problems now as we have cleared up there from DU to about 6th Avenue. Also looking at some residual traffic eastbound C-470 in Littleton at Kipling. Also on southbound 225 from Parker Road to 25. The speeds starting to improve there as well. And westbound turnpike going to be a little heavy there, Sheridan up to Wadsworth. Just working one car accident. It's on the surface streets. Four cars, though, involved at Parker Road and 225. Your forecast, cloudy, occasional rain showers and thunderstorms possible. Look for high around 60. Right now we're at 57 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Beat the summer heat with low Walmart prices on everyone's favorite brands of ice cream. 48-ounce Breyers ice cream is just $2.57, 18-ounce Keebler Chips Deluxe for $2.50, and 24-ounce Hershey's Chocolate Syrup for $1.68. Save money, live better. Walmart.
You know, Memorial Day coming up. Here's a thought. Let's take a break from the economy and put it in the rearview mirror with a road trip. Start by heading over to Advance Auto Parts, where they've got 5 quarts of Pennzoil or Quaker State conventional motor oil and a Purolator Premium Plus oil filter for $14.99. That's a complete oil change to get you ready to hit the road for less than $15. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
Right now, the Home Depot has 20% off all DeWalt Power Tool Combo Kits. Depending on the kit, you could save up to $130 on a workbench full of pro-quality, dream-come-true DeWalt tools. Which leaves you with two questions. Which kit to buy? And which project to get started on first? 20% off all DeWalt Power Tool Combo Kits. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 27th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Fifty-five on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're talking about the potential end of American exceptionalism in our foreign policy. We've gone from the super local, that debate about Governor Ritter's veto, to the international after our interview with Andrew Bacevich about his new best-selling book, The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism in Our Foreign Policy. What do you think? Are we mature enough to end our hubristic foreign policy and make it much more pragmatic? 303-713-7600. George in Arvada. George.
Good morning, David.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I really enjoyed your debate with Rosen.
Thank you.
Yeah, I took it to him. I knew you would.
Thanks, man.
If he had not had that authoritative role as like an MC type of role,
right,
you would have just totally wiped him off the map.
Well, maybe we'll do it again sometime,
sure,
and maybe he'll come to our house.
That's exactly the kind of radio I want to see. I want to see this happen. I'd like to see you take on Limbaugh. I mean, I'd love to see that kind of stuff. That would be my answer to the fairness doctrine. and you know, I think in order to face this American exceptionalism, I think it's like a state of denial. And I think in order to start dealing with it, we need to start being willing to face some facts, some hard facts. You know, John W. Dean talks about conservatives without a conscience. And, you know, he even refers to a scale that he can use to measure that propensity within people. And basically, conservatives without a conscience are led like a bunch of sheep and led to be mean-hearted and somewhat prejudicial in their approaches to things, and with that American exceptionalism type of mentality. And that's why we're so vulnerable to people, imbeciles, for lack of a better way to put it, like George W. Bush, just destroying our economy and our national defense and just blindly allowing this kind of stuff to happen.
Well, and remember, you know, when we talked to Dr. Bacevich, Andrew Bacevich, the author of The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism, when we talked to him, you know, he said the debate on foreign policy, on how we get out of this hubristic, chest-thumping foreign policy that equates military power with patriotism and quote-unquote toughness, how do we get out of it? You know, and he said that he's worried that Obama is repeating some of Bush's mistakes. And as much as I'm worried about that and fault Obama and some of his people for that, for instance, potentially digging the hole deeper in Afghanistan, just remember how much these frames are dug in, right? Barack Obama has to give a speech today defending the closure of Guantanamo Bay, the prison there, to a Democratic Congress that's trying to prevent him from closing it. So our debate is so completely skewed. All right, stick around. We'll get back to your calls after the national news.
I should be Twittering.
Like, I don't talk enough.
Randy Rhodes.
It's not going to last. Twitter is... Who could keep themselves to 140 characters? Nobody can. Not me. 140 pages? Yes, I'm in. I'm your girl.
The Randy Rhodes Show. Weeknights at 7 on AM 760. Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Are you interested in a dietary intervention that may lower your blood pressure without any medications? Researchers at the University of Colorado at Boulder are currently seeking adults age 50 to 79 to participate in a clinical research study to learn how reducing salt in the diet improves function of your blood vessels. They're seeking individuals with moderately elevated blood pressure of 130 to 159 not on blood pressure medications. Benefits of participating in this study include a complete blood panel, body fat and bone mineral density measurements, as well as a physical exam and stress test. Compensation for your time and participation is available if you qualify. If you or someone you know is a non-smoker aged 50 to 79, has moderately elevated blood pressure, and is not currently taking any prescription medications, researchers at University of Colorado at Boulder would like to talk to you. Please call Carrie at 303-735-6410 for more information and to see if you qualify. Again, that number is 303-735-6410. 303-735-6410.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House.
The existence of Guantanamo likely created more terrorists around the world than it ever detained.
President Obama speaking right now here in Washington, defending his decision to close the Guantanamo prison. He says he will not release any detainee who would endanger national security. Mr. Obama has repeatedly criticized the Bush administration's decision to open the prison.
We're cleaning up something that is quite simply a mess. A misguided experiment that has left in its wake a flood of legal challenges.
The president now outlining a plan to try some of the detainees in federal courts, others before military commissions. He suggests that convicted terrorists should go to one of the nation's so-called supermax prisons. The president speaking at the National Archives, where the backdrop is a copy of the Constitution. I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. Now with more CBS News, here's Nick Young.
Well, the suspects are in custody.
No one was at risk.
New York City Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly on the arrest of four men in an alleged plot to attack a synagogue and Jewish community center in New York and shoot down military planes.
Conspiracy to acquire or to use weapons of mass destruction. That includes the bombs and also the Stinger missile.
Now, authorities say the explosives and missile given to the alleged plotters were fake, supplied by an informant working for the FBI and other agencies. The four men will appear in federal courts later today. From the Labor Department this morning, a slight drop last week in the number of Americans filing for jobless benefits. Economist Ken Malin says the workforce pressures appear to be easing.
You reach a point where a lot of the big companies have skinnied down, and so the big scale job cuts are behind us.
At the same time, the overall number of unemployment claims is climbing closer to 7 million. In a separate snapshot of the economy, the Conference Board says its index of leading indicators climbed in April for the first time in 7 months. Board economist Ken Goldstein.
We're still mired in this recession, but the leading economic index jumped up by 1%, by a full percent in the latest month.
Published reports say the government will inject another $7 billion into GMAC Financial Services, the aim to better position the company to make more low-cost auto loans available. More violence in Iraq today. Attacks in Baghdad and Kirkuk have left more than 20 people dead, including 3 U.S. soldiers. 9 other troops were wounded. There is drug trouble in the ranks, and the Army brass isn't doing enough to deal with abusers. A memo from the Army's Vice Chief of Staff criticizes commanders for not punishing the growing number of drug abusers or getting help for them. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says he's not surprised that drug abuse is on the rise given the pressures on men and women in uniform today.
This is tied in with questions of post-traumatic stress disorder and the alarming rise in the suicide rate in the Army, now reaching over 140 last year.
This is CBS News.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-0907. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-400-0907. That's 1-800-400-0907.
1-800-400-0907. I'm David Kale with an AM760 local news update. Not in our backyard. Both Colorado Senators Mark Udall and Michael Bennett are rejecting a suggestion to house Guantanamo prisoners in the state. California Senator Dianne Feinstein is in favor.
We have the facilities to keep convicted terrorists behind bars indefinitely.
President Obama is expected to address the issue in a speech today. The days of getting blasted by bomb-detecting puffer machines at DIA are nearly over. The TSA is removing the security devices nationwide in favor of body scanners. And very high country roads are opening just in time for Memorial Day weekend, including the Mount Evans Summit Road and Independence Pass east of Aspen. Sports, game 2 of the Western Conference Finals tonight between the Nuggets and Lakers. Tip-off, 7 o'clock. And the Braves over the Rockies 12-4 last night. The series finale is this evening in Atlanta. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
It looks like a lot of folks are already in holiday mode as this morning's commute is starting to wind down pretty quickly. You can find some leftover happy pockets on I-25 downtown. Same deal on 225 on that approach to Yosemite, but they're not hanging around as late as they have been for the rest of this week. Sounds like there's a wreck on the ramp from westbound 36 to Church Ranch. Off the highways, crashes on Parker at 225. That one should be picked up shortly. This one's just coming in, Colorado and Arizona. And if you're heading up into high country, you're going to find some foggy conditions in the foothills along I-70 near Genesee. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Come to Lowe's this Memorial Day weekend to make your home the place to be. And right now, get 12 months special financing on purchases of two.
You never have to pan, you never have to zoom, you never have to scroll. You just read. Those were the words of Amazon's chief executive, Jeff Bezos, at the launch of the new Kindle DX, their brand new e-reader, which is 250% bigger than previous Kindles and aimed at the newspaper, magazine, and document reading audience. A paperless society is now one step and just under $500 closer.
Every once in a while, a revolution
revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
You are addicted.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
My compost pile is really hurting due to the recession.
No, but now we're making fun. I mean, compost piles
I know, but I know. But you know what I'm saying? It's like every single stereotype.
It's like a Saturday Night Live commercial.
Like I told you yesterday, man. I don't know who put that thing together. Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or what happened?
It's like we shouldn't let that out. They'll play it on Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity.
Yes.
It's all right. Oh, man. All right. It's 9:07. Let's do a quick news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
All right, Colorado news. Governor Ritter, good on ya. This week, he quietly signs into law a bill that would allow gay and lesbian state employees to share benefits with their partners in the way married couples already can. So that's good news, and that's a good move by Governor Ritter. I'm sure he's going to get a little bit of flack that he did it quietly. He signed the bill without any fanfare, and so some people might say, well, why wasn't he proud of signing the bill? Frankly, I don't care when these people or how these people sign any bills or veto any bills. It's the action that's important. Political news. Former Republican Congressman Scott McGinnis officially enters the 2010 gubernatorial race against Ritter with little fanfare after critics have for weeks argued that he was caught on tape potentially violating campaign laws and declaring his candidacy, or at least telling people he was running for governor without filing the legal paperwork. A new CU study, University of Colorado at Boulder study, suggests that an asteroid or asteroids that barraged the Earth may have actually created a favorable habitat for the bacteria that created life on Earth, not the other way around. A lot of the theories are that asteroids hit the Earth and destroyed all life. So this new University of Colorado study challenges that. At the other major university in state, Colorado State University, members of CSU's governing board fretted about the public perception that they were hiring a, quote, good old boy before they decided to make fellow board member Joe Blake the sole finalist for the university system's chancellor. This comes out after the CSU board releases tapes of their closed-door meetings to newspapers after newspapers were suing them for release of those tapes and those minutes under Colorado open meetings laws. Nine News reports that one of the biggest trucking companies in Colorado has been licensing most of its fleet out of state for 13 years, and that has cost the state millions of dollars in sales tax during the state's worst budget crisis in decades. The licensing out of state was, at least this Nine News investigation asserts that it was deliberately done to avoid paying those taxes and emissions fees. From the Aspen Daily News, the Glenwood Springs City Council is getting ready to weigh in on federal regulations that exempt some oil and gas operations from clean water standards. Council members out there are expected to decide on Thursday whether or not they want to send a letter to Colorado's congressional delegation demanding that those legislators strip the exemptions from a controversial method that injects chemicals into the ground to make it easier to remove natural gas. So potential local federal fight on our hands. We're used to that out here in the West. Big news in local news. Governor Ritter taking major flack, a major backlash to his veto of that bill that would have reinstated unemployment benefits for workers locked out of their jobs by their employers. That was law on the books in Colorado for 30 years. It's law on the books in 33 states that if you get locked out of your job by your employer, you're entitled to apply for unemployment insurance. Insurance premiums, which, by the way, you effectively pay through your employer. Ritter vetoed the bill. That bill, that law was originally changed in 1999 by Governor Bill Owens. The bill by Representative Ed Casso would have reverted back to the old law. Governor Ritter vetoing it. We had a debate on the show in the 6 a.m. hour between Representative Casso and Governor Ritter's executive director of his labor department. We've been trying to get Governor Ritter on the show to explain himself. The administration will only send a surrogate. And we debated it out. If you don't like Ritter's veto, you can call his office, 303-866-2471, 303-866-2471. Rest assured they are getting those calls and complaining to us about them. National news. Congress on Wednesday sent President Obama that bill with the new rules governing credit card companies. That bill originally sponsored by Mark Udall in the House in 2005, so that's great news. Obama expected to sign it. President Obama today is attempting to answer critics of his efforts to dismantle Bush-era policies on detention and interrogation. In a speech today, Congress pushing back on his plans to try to close the Guantanamo prison. Financial Times reports that the former director of the U.S. government agency that insures private sector pensions has refused to answer questions before Congress this week amid allegations that he had, quote, inappropriate contacts with Wall Street companies bidding for contracts to manage the agency's assets. Some bad news here. The Hill newspaper reports that President Obama on Wednesday said his administration would consider exerting executive privilege to withhold information sought by a new commission set up by Congress to investigate the financial crisis. So effectively, Obama's signing statements, these infamous signing statements where presidents think they're kings and can just issue these proclamations and expect to get them enforced by the law, Obama using a signing statement to say, hey, if this new commission to investigate the financial meltdown comes looking for White House documents, either from my administration or even from past administrations, I've got the right under executive privilege to deny them that. This from the most, quote-unquote, the most open and transparent administration in history. Here's one for the conspiracy theorists out there, all the trilateral commission types. ABC News reports that under a cloak of secrecy, the world's wealthiest people gathered in an unprecedented meeting early this month in New York City. They said a spokesman, or one attendee, said it was to, quote, to see how they can join together to do more, invited by the world's two richest men, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, along with David Rockefeller, a who's who of American wealth and influence gathered in New York City on May 5th. Again, they said it's to see how they can join together to do more. You wonder if they're really joining together to protect their own assets as the populist tide in this country and around the world rises. AP reports police launched an international search for two New Zealanders who allegedly took the money and ran after a bank mistakenly put the equivalent of $6.1 million American dollars into their bank account. Remember that story of the boy who didn't want to take chemotherapy for his cancer that has a 90% cure rate under chemotherapy, and his parents saying they agree with him and they don't believe in chemotherapy, and the judge said, no, you've got to give him chemotherapy, or you got to at least have doctors weigh in a little bit more. Yeah, the boy and his mom are gone. There's a manhunt on for them. Nobody knows where they are anymore. So they have fled. Here's a little news of the weird and creepy. Wired magazine reports, you may not know it, but if you have a wireless router, a cordless phone, remote car door opener, baby monitor, or cell phone in your house, the Federal Communications Commission claims the right to enter your home without a warrant at any time of the day or night in order to inspect it. Now, because the FCC regulates radio frequencies, the FCC is asserting this incredible right. It's never been challenged in court, but it's pretty incredible that they are asserting this. Death penalty news, we've talked about this before, about the problems in the death penalty administration of it in states all across the country. Lawyers, former prosecutors, have been writing to the Supreme Court asking for clemency for Troy Anthony Davis, a death row inmate in Georgia, after seven witnesses have recanted their testimony against him. He has continued to maintain his innocence. That is your AM 760 Progressive News Update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
All right, we'll go back to the phones now, and we're going to do open phones the rest of the hour with the two topics that we've been debating all morning. One, Governor Ritter's veto of the bill on unemployment benefits. He vetoes the bill 2 days ago, the bill that would allow workers locked out of their jobs to get unemployment benefits. He vetoes that bill. Now there's a huge backlash. You got Democratic state legislators attacking their own governor in the paper. One Democratic state legislator saying that Governor Ritter has made common cause with the greediest corporations in Colorado. We had a debate on where the Ritter administration, they will not yet allow us to have Governor Ritter on the show. They sent the Labor here in the state onto the show to debate the bill sponsor early this morning on this show, and their answer was, we may support it, but we didn't like the timing of it. Do you buy that rationale? 303-713-7600, couple open lines. And then also, we talked to best-selling author Andrew Bacevich, his book, The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. He's a retired colonel in the Army. He is just a huge expert on all these international issues, and he basically says that we have got to get out of this American exceptionalism mindset, this mindset that we are the chosen people and that we have a moral obligation to the kind of interventionism that we've seen in the past. He's not advocating for isolationism, just a lot more humbleness and humility in our foreign policy. Do you think that we as a country have the maturity to get to a way of looking at foreign policy that doesn't equate military interventions with toughness and strength and doesn't attack people who offer up common sense ideas like Andrew Bacevich's about ending American exceptionalism and not attacking them as unpatriotic? Do we have the maturity as a country to get there? Bacevich says he's worried that the Obama administration is making many of the same mistakes as the Bush administration on foreign policy, specifically in getting us deeper into Afghanistan. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. We do have a few late accidents, but they seem to be off the highways, which is a good thing for us. I got a single vehicle accident on the ramp from westbound 36 to Church Ranch. I also got one on Colorado near Florida. That's always a heavy spot, so expect some pretty good delays there. Also still working this four-car accident at Parker Road and 225. Only spots I'm seeing with some heavier traffic on the freeways, southbound I-25, 70 to Spear. Northbounders kind of busy on 225, Parker Road to Mississippi, and westbounders on the turnpike hitting some snags from Sheridan to Wadsworth. The forecast, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain in the a.m., chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms this afternoon as well, highs in the upper 50s. Your current downtown temperature is 56. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Got a buck? For just $1, you can wake up to Sonic's new Everyday Value menu. Grab a junior.
Hi, it's Tom Harbin to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill wood products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, it's cheaper to buy, and it helps Colorado forests and workers. Visit their showroom in Lakewood and mention this ad to receive 10% off on your purchase.
For details, call 303-205-WOOD, 303-205-WOOD, or LowersHardwoods.com.
When your allergies hit, hit back with new Claritin Liquid Gels, now available at CVS Pharmacy. Claritin Liquid Gels capsules are the first and only non-drowsy allergy medicine with pure liquid power, releasing a wave of relief for your itchy, watery eyes, sneezing, and runny nose. Depend on Claritin Liquid Gels and live Claritin Clear. This week, CVS Pharmacy Extra Care Card members can save on Claritin Liquid Gels. CVS Pharmacy, for all the ways you care. Use as directed.
Again, 800-303-9218.
Are you still waiting for economic stimulus to trickle down, but you still need a PC now? 345PC.com can help. We have two different PC packages priced at $345 and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. A new PC is as easy as 345PC.com. Visit our website at 345PC.com for complete details and secure online ordering of your custom PC. Assembled in Parker, Colorado. It's as easy as 345PC.com.
Turk is running around in there. It sounds like things, looks like things are getting a little crazy in there.
Prepare to make the jump to light speed.
They're getting closer.
Oh, yeah? Watch this.
Watch what?
We're in trouble.
If I may say so, sir, I noticed earlier the hyperdrive motivator has been damaged. It's impossible to go to light.
We're in trouble.
Yeah, you're in trouble back there, aren't
Man,
you,
my hyperdrive motivator is not working so well this morning.
They're going a little crazy
I
back there.
I swear, all my computers are like freezing up, slowing down, skipping over spots. It feels like a Monday in here, and it's Thursday, and I thought we loved Thursdays, but...
Flying the Millennium Falcon without Chewbacca and without a hyperdrive. That is John Turk's daily job.
We should take a picture of kind of what the control room looks like here and just put it on the website.
You should.
And see.
We should. I'll bring in my camera.
And this old soundboard is starting to go, too.
I got my camera here. We'll take it after the show, and we'll post it.
And we got like a 20-year-old soundboard in here.
Yeah, we got to get you like a blue vest and like a tan shirt, like a Han Solo garb.
I think I can work that out. I think I got one.
My brother, he'll love this, and we were making fun of the poking a little fun, gentle fun at the AM760 new promo that seems like it was produced by Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. My brother texted me, he goes, love the promo. It's like, this recession is making it hard to buy my 1964 Chateau de Paris Chardonnay and pay my limo driver. He says, I heard John Edwards is having to get $200 haircuts instead of $400 haircuts. Oh, we gotta get a new promo. All right. 303-713-7600. Back to some serious stuff. What do you think of Governor Ritter's veto of that bill? Do you buy his rationale as voiced here by the Ritter administration this morning in the debate with Ed Casso, the state representative, saying, hey, it was just a timing issue. We really support the principle of this. But I don't understand that. If they really support the principle of allowing workers to have unemployment benefits if they get locked out, but they're then saying, well, we just didn't want to enact it to impact the grocery workers' negotiations. If they really believed in the principle of it, shouldn't they want to get it enacted as fast as possible to help the grocery workers? What do you think? 303-713-7600. And then also, we had Dr. Andrew Bacevich, the retired Army colonel, the author of the new book, The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism, the New York Times bestseller, saying that we really need to reevaluate our whole conception of American exceptionalism, this idea that we are the chosen people and that we have a moral mission to do all sorts of interventionist and adventurist foreign policies like Iraq and Afghanistan. He's saying that he's very concerned that Obama is making some of the same huge mistakes as the Bush administration in Afghanistan in particular. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Dar in Longmont, what do you think?
Hi, this is Dar. I just wanted to bring up on the Bacevich interview the concept of the chosen people and the role of religion in the Middle East overall. And if you go back to the whole history of the Middle East from the Ottomans forward through Israel, religion has primarily driven a lot of it. And it's kind of the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room that doesn't get talked about a lot in relation to foreign policy. But the concept of us as the chosen people sort of goes along with the Jews being the chosen people for Israel, or Muslims being the chosen people for the Middle East or whatever. But I think it drives an awful lot, particularly when you look at the influence of religion on our military now, too.
So are you basically saying that you think that that in this era when we see Islamic fundamentalism as a foreign policy threat, that are you saying, am I hear you saying that you think we're sort of mimicking it with our own, you know, we had President Bush call the quote-unquote war on terror as a quote-unquote crusade? Do you think we're accidentally, inadvertently, subconsciously, or maybe even deliberately mimicking it?
I think even deliberately. Each religion has its own concept of itself being the chosen people. And I think that's a trap that we tend to fall into a little bit in this. And as I, particularly one thing that concerned me was increasing religiosity of our military. I think that's a very dangerous thing to allow happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think that there's nothing wrong with ascribing morality to a foreign policy or a domestic policy, right? We should want to help deal with poverty. I think there's a moral aspect to that. We should want to prevent genocide. There's a moral aspect to that. I do think you're right that when you get into you go beyond morality and you get into self-righteousness, and you get into portraying yourself and your nation as having a divine right, right? A sort of a deified right, a religious right, a religious obligation to violate international law, for instance, to be militarily aggressive. You get into very, very dangerous territory. You get into the territory, frankly, as you allude to, that our enemies use to justify what they do against us. And you know, Andrew Bacevich, the retired Army colonel, professor of military history, his new book, The Limits of America of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism, you know, he's basically saying that when we do that, and our military policy and our interventionist foreign policy is governed by that, it may have served us well in the past, but it is inflaming anti-Americanism right now. It is making us less safe. And I really thought that his comparison, I don't know about you, Turk, but I really thought the comparison between Afghanistan and Mexico was something that you rarely ever hear that really put it into perspective, you know?
Well, yeah, and we've thought about that. You know, who hasn't thought about that? What affects us more? Somebody living that we share a border with, or...
Right, I mean, violence down there. But when you listen,
drug cartels running everything. And...
Right, but when you listen to the foreign policy debate in this country, you turn on the Sunday shows, right,
yeah,
from D.C., you don't hear very much about Mexico.
You never hear anything about it.
No, you always hear about Afghanistan and Iraq. It's like really, really skewed when you think about it.
We don't even hear about Canada that much.
Yeah, we don't. You're right. And you know where else we don't hear about? We don't hear a lot about South America in general, the whole continent down there. Hey, thanks for the call. 9:30, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's going to 60 degrees today on the Front Range. Get in on the conversation. We're talking about Governor Bill Ritter's veto of that bill to allow workers who get locked out to get unemployment benefits. They say it was a timing issue in the debate that we had here in the 6 a.m. hour. What do you think about that? And what do you think about Andrew Bacevich's new book, The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism? He'll be here at the Tattered Cover in Lodo on May 28th. We interviewed him. He said he's worried that the Obama administration is making many of the same mistakes in foreign policy, specifically on Afghanistan, that the Bush administration is making. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Ron in Littleton, what do you think?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
With this Afghanistan, I think some people better read some history, because they keep on going in there. And ever since the time of Alexander the Great, those people up there in those Hindu Kush mountains have kicked the hell out of everybody.
Yeah, well, I mean, what we always forget, what we seem to forget is, you know, the great game. many major empires throughout world history, hundreds, thousands of years ago, over hundreds and thousands of years, have been sucked into military engagements in that part of the world and have been hurt for the long term because of it.
Well, you know, look at British colonialism in the past 200 years in India. And then that used to be part, and, you know, Pakistan used to be part of that. Look what they did to the whole region.
Yeah, it's a real thicket there. And I don't think it's a question of whether Afghanistan has problems, whether we need to contain those problems. It's a question of, are we getting too deep into that situation? Are we pursuing an occupation strategy rather than a containment strategy?
Yeah, and that's a good question. I can't answer that. But you were talking about anti-Americanism and the chosen people. If there's so much anti-Americanism, you know what I think is strange? When I see anti-American demonstrations in Europe or the Third World or Latin America, the one that really tripped me one time was there was an anti-American demonstration in Peru. And it got real heavy. But yet the some of the demonstrators are wearing Dallas Cowboy jerseys.
Yeah, look,
drinking Coke.
I think that the whole notion of anti-Americanism, it's not monolithic. I think a lot of people across the world have a really they're really ambivalent about how they feel about the United States. I think a lot of people, especially in the Bush era, really, really despised our government. But I think a lot of people simultaneously knew that that the entire country was not behind many of the policies of our government. And I think that the Obama era initially has a chance to wipe some of that ambivalence away. Now, I will say this. Ultimately, we'll be judged on our policies, not just on whether our rhetoric is more friendly and diplomatic. And, again, what Andrew Bacevich was saying was that if we repeat the same mistakes of the Bush administration, we may be faced with the same problems that we experienced during the Bush administration. Thanks for the call. 9:33, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Get in on the conversation. 60 degrees, or going up to 60 degrees on the Front Range here on Thursday, May the 21st. Turk flying the Millennium Falcon. He is looks like things have stabilized. The hyperdrive looks like it's working.
The hyperdrive modulator is now back.
Okay.
Functionable.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's get a traffic update.
All right. Here in the galaxy, things looking good around the freeway systems. Got a few accidents on the surface streets, though, that may hang folks up. One is a crash on the ramp from westbound 36 to Church Ranch Road. That should be out of your way here shortly. Also, this one on Colorado Boulevard near Florida. But we got a new one, rollover crash as well, Colfax and Grant. So that's going to mess things up there. And if you're traveling in the high country, got Loveland Pass shut down. They will close down Eisenhower Tunnel at the top of the hour. Let those hazmat trucks through. So do expect about 15 to 20-minute delays on 70 at the top of each hour. And also US 6 still shut down between 119 and 58 for work to tunnels 1, 2, and 3 there just west of Golden. Need to use I-70 and get off at the Central City Parkway. Forecast, cloudy, occasional rain showers, thunderstorms possible. Look for a high around 60. Right now we're at 56 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
DIA Parking. It's easier, it's faster, and it's only getting better. Visit their website at flydenver.com or call 303-DIA-PARK. DIA Parking. Easier, faster, and it's only getting better. Visit flydenver.com or call 303-DIA-PARK for details.
You know what the Snuggies are?
This weekend, Ace is a place to save with over $140 in rebates, like buying Ace Royal Paint, starting at $21.99 a gallon and getting a $5 rebate, limit 10. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer for $9.99 can save you an extra 45% after a $4 rebate, limit 2. Or get a great deal on an Adirondack chair for $29.99. Sale ends Monday at Ace, the helpful place.
Price is good at participating stores while supplies last. All rebates by mail. See store for details.
Landmark Lincoln Mercury says, hello, hybrids. It's gas, it's electric, it's smart, it's the most fuel-efficient midsize sedan in America. And it's here at Landmark. The all-new 2010 Mercury Milan Hybrid will go over 700 miles on a single tank of fuel in the city. The Milan's technology and quality is surpassed only by its stunning design. Landmark Lincoln Mercury has the largest selection of new Lincoln Mercury product, including hybrids, in the state. Serving you since 1919, we are the only exclusive Lincoln Mercury dealership in Denver. We continue to thrive with no layoffs because Landmark has achieved high customer satisfaction for many years. We are proud participants of Ford Motor Company's Owner Advantage program, which protects your purchase in the event of job loss. For the ultimate non-pressure buying experience, stop in and test drive any of our spectacular Lincoln Mercury product at 5000 South Broadway and online at buylincolns.com.
Volume claim based on total retail sales for the state of Colorado based on 2008 R.L. Polk data.
Of thousands of their workers with themselves as the beneficiaries. Banks took out much of this life insurance during the mortgage bubble when executives' pay and the IOUs for their deferred compensation surged, and banking regulators affirmed the use of life insurance as a way to finance executive pay and benefits. Bank of America Corporation, which, of course, you, the taxpayer, owns a huge chunk of, has the most life insurance on employees, $17.3 billion at the end of the first quarter, according to the bank filings. Again, these are executives using life insurance policies taken out on their own workers to finance their own executive pay packages. Really, really disgusting. It never, ever stops. Really never stops. The next time I am told that I am waging class warfare or that the left is too angry about this stuff, I'm going to just email this story to the person screaming at me. Let's go back to the phones. 303-713-7600. Peter in Denver.
Hey, how's it going today, David?
Okay.
And, I have a couple things. I guess it's all kind of really ticking me off today. But
fire away.
I think it was on this show just only about a week ago that you were saying how King Soopers and Safeway were actually profiting during this time period.
That's right. They profits, according to the business press, they're up. I think it was, I can't remember the number, but yes, their profits are either maintaining or are up. And they are saying that they need to do these wage cuts and pension cuts for grocery workers because of the recession. Of course, when you actually think about the recession, grocery stores, they're not insulated completely from the recession, but there's basically an inelastic demand for food and necessities. And actually, recessions, economists will tell you, can sometimes be good for the grocery industry because people stop eating out. And so they use the grocery stores more than they necessarily had been in the past. And so, yet the grocery store executives are saying, you know, they're trying to cite the recession as the reason why they want to crush workers. I guess it makes sense on a superficial level if you don't think about it. Oh, the recession's hurting everyone has to sacrifice. But then when you actually think about it for a second, you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, people going out less to eat, to eat less, so they're going to the store more.
Exactly, exactly.
But that makes it all the worse for Ritter to not back this bill and support the workers. And it's just ridiculous. Now, if I agree with the caller earlier this morning who said he's just doing it strictly for political purposes, but my opinion, if he has a Democratic challenger, well, I know who my vote's going to go to now.
Well, I think
not going to be Ritter.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think in a Democratic primary, this veto, this bill to extend unemployment benefits to workers who are locked out of their jobs. And again, to restore the state law of 30 years that said that that was the case. That was only repealed in 1999 by Governor Bill Owens. Bill Ritter's veto of this, I think, definitely opens up an avenue of possibility for a primary challenge. I mean, this is a very easy to understand issue. I think it will really agitate and anger a lot of core Democratic voters. And I think he's made himself vulnerable because of it. And he's made himself vulnerable because he did this, I think, in my opinion, to appease big money interests, the big money interests who paid off his campaign debt.
Exactly. And that kind of goes into one last thing I want to say, you know, and it kind of ties into the Democrats not backing the closing of Gitmo.
Mm-hmm.
Obama threatened to use executive privilege.
Right.
And Ritter not backing labor unions or whatnot. But for the last 10 years or 8 years or so, I've been voting for the lesser of two evils.
Right.
And all of this coming up right now that the Democrats have power, just proves to me only more and more and more that there needs to be more parties involved in politics.
Absolutely. I mean, I absolutely think that's the case. You're talking about third parties, independent parties. You're absolutely right.
Four, five, six parties.
you're absolutely right. And I think that in order to get there, because I think you need to have viable third, fourth, fifth, and sixth parties, right? They need to be viable. Right now, the rules are structured against them. And so, you know, as I've talked about in my book, The Uprising, you need to have a rule that allows what's called fusion voting, where third parties can have easier access to the ballot and they can cross-endorse major party candidates for office, or they can run their own candidates, give them more flexibility. That used to be the case in every state in the country. It was repealed at the turn of the 19th century by conservative forces who said that fusion voting was making progressives too strong. So you need structural reform at the same time that allows third parties to become viable. I think third-party politics in a rigged situation can be a fool's errand. You've got to actually change the rules. And I don't think it's hard to change the rules to open up the process just a little bit more. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
942, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, do you think we're mature enough as a nation to get past our idea of American exceptionalism, this morality, this idea that we're the chosen people, and that justifies us going all over the world and intervening and adventurism and militarism all over the world? Do you think we're mature enough to get past that? And,
you know, it's kind of funny. Dick Cheney's talking about all this on CNN right now. He's speaking.
Oh, that's right.
Issues of national security. We're going to have to play some of this audio tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. There's this back and forth, by the way, between Obama on the Guantanamo Bay and Cheney is just all over the place now. Obama saying, look, on the Bush terror policies, we've got to change some of them, including closing Guantanamo Bay. It's sending the wrong message to the world. Now Cheney's giving a speech after Obama's speech. He's giving it to the Conservative American Enterprise Institute, you know, giving the standard Cheney line.
Why is he still talking?
I know.
Why does he have a platform to talk in his...
Because he's crazy. I mean, why does he have a platform? That's a good question. Why does anybody care? I mean, the guy is a crackpot.
Why is the news covering this?
Yeah, that's actually... That's a fantastic, you know, 55% of Americans by
the
latest poll.
He's former vice president, right?
Right, and 55% of Americans by the latest poll show that they can't stand the guy.
Yeah, and he's saying basically, I pulled it up to listen to a little bit of it, and he's basically said, you know, that enhanced interrogation techniques need to continue in the future, and to take those off the table would be unwise.
I mean, this guy has so little respect for the rule of law.
Right.
And for humans. So forget about
it. He's just me, in my profits.
It's really, and it's all about...
It's disgusting, man. We're going to have to pull, and, you know, I had a caller call in, and a listener call in and tell me, hey, you should pull up some of this Cheney audio. So we'll try to pull some and play it tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, this is the conservatives pushing this worldview that the way we need to move forward in the world is to continue with this hubristic idea that equates militarism with toughness, which equates interventionism with patriotism. It's as Andrew Bacevich says in his new book, it is endangering our country. And you're seeing it, this epic struggle to change the debate, as epitomized by Obama and Cheney in these dueling speeches today. Are we as a nation mature enough to go in a new direction? That's the question right now. 303-713-7600. Then feel free to weigh in on Governor Ritter's veto of that unemployment bill. We had a debate this morning about it. The Ritter administration saying it was really a matter of timing, not a matter of the substance. Do you buy it? 303-713-7600. Rachel in Westminster. Rachel, you're on AM 760.
Yeah, hi, David. Love your show.
Thanks.
I heard you kind of stumbling over the terminology, and I think what you're talking about, rather than American exceptionalism, is what historically was called manifest destiny. And And Manifest Destiny was sort of cooked up in the mid-1800s as a way of justifying imperialist expansion throughout the Western United States.
James Polk, right?
There's an interesting history about it because it was cooked up as sort of a democratic term because people objected to, you know, the old Puritan notion of, you know, we're on a mission from God. So they wanted to make it a secular term, and they cooked up Manifest Destiny, and it was kind of sold to liberals at the time were kind of called sentimentalists because they didn't want to see, you know, the Indians, the natives wiped out and all the buffalo killed, and they didn't want to see everything civilized. And so there was this war of propaganda waged against the liberals of the time by the conservatives, and the word they used was Manifest Destiny, and it was very effective because you know, they were able to annex large portions of land that was owned by you know, France and Mexico, and so
right, and it creates that religious veneer to all of this.
Yeah, it does. So it's kind of a propaganda campaign, and it's an interesting history that leads right up to now. Although, you know, I've heard different words, and one of them is the one you used, which was American exceptionalism.
Right, that's the subtitle of Andrew Bacevich's new book. It's the same concept that we are a special people, a chosen people. We are different than others in that we are put on this planet to help through domination. That's basically what American exceptionalism says. Now, I want to be clear. I definitely think that we are a very, very special nation. We are the exception in many ways. We are a democracy, and democracies in the world are mostly exceptions because most of the world isn't a democracy. And we have been a leader in that. We are an exception for our freedom of the press, absolutely. But the idea, American exceptionalism, implies that we look at ourselves as above the standards and laws and principles that everybody else, every other nation, is governed by. That we have a right to break the rules in a John Wayne style because we're always acting out of righteousness and goodness, and whether that's the case or not, that's not the way the world perceives it. And if we continue to strut around with that attitude, we're actually going to make ourselves less safe. Thanks for the call. 303-713-7600. We'll get back to your calls. Let's go to Trent and Thornton. Trent.
Hey, David.
Hey there.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I really agree with what Bacevich was saying. You know, for many years I've been saying, what gives us the right to decide for other independent countries how they should operate, how they should deal with their own people, and why do we have this self-righteous idea that we should impose our own values on them? But yes, I agree with that, and I also agree that it's making us less safe. I mean, I was the first guy screaming. You could hear me screaming when I heard we were going to war with Iraq. You know, when that happened, at the top of my lungs, you know, to me that was, my feeling is whenever there's a terrorist and you shoot one terrorist, you create 10 more. So there's much better and more intelligent ways to deal with terrorism than in, you know, open warfare, basically.
Yeah, and it's the old idea of, I think it's called, I think the CIA uses this term, backlash. And if it's not backlash, what's the term I'm thinking about? The CIA has a term for this. Blowback. There you go, blowback. Which is that for every action, no matter what it's in the name of, goodness, truth, safety, there is an equal, or maybe not equal, but there is going to be a reaction. And, you know, when 9/11 happened, and I remember, you know, you remember this, 9/11 happened, and if you even ask the question, hey, did our behavior in funding different groups, you know, arming Osama bin Laden and our other interventionism, not making a value judgment on whether that was good or bad, but if you even said, 9/11 was in part a reaction to that. And you're not saying, nobody said it was, nobody that I knew said it was a justified reaction. Nobody said it was, you understood the reaction, you sympathized with the reaction. But if you even said that, hey, all of this is connected, American foreign policy, our interventionism, through blowback is going to have some kind of reaction. Not that you're justifying that reaction, but if you even said that there is going to be a reaction and that 9/11 may have been part of that reaction, you were berated as unpatriotic. And so that's the ultimate question now. Can we get past this ridiculous, immature way of looking at these issues of foreign policy and national security? Thanks for the call. 9:51, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Going up to 60 degrees on this cloudy day, Thursday, May the 21st. Let's get a traffic update with Han Solo.
You got it. I guess you'd be Luke Skywalker, because you're kind of like the leader of good.
No, I'm like sitting in the, when it comes to the Millennium Falcon and all the technology, I'm like Luke after I got my arm cut off, sitting in the back, sort of completely inept to fly the, do anything to help fly the plane.
Yeah, Luca's kind of not very helpful with the Millennium Falcon,
no,
is he?
Not at all.
Dave, we'll take your last look at traffic in the Jay Marvin Show for you this morning. Really loose on the highways now around town. The only place where I'm seeing some residual traffic or heavier volumes anyway is southbound I-25, Park Avenue past Spear. Speed's still going to be in the 40s and 50s there. We do have a couple of crashes in the surface streets. Still trying to work this one on the ramp from westbound 36 to Church Ranch. So if you're in the Westminster area, do look out for that one. Also got a rollover crash at Colfax and Grant near downtown. The forecast, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain in the morning, then a chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon. Look for a high around 60. Right now we're at 55 degrees in Denver. Looks like we're going backwards. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
At Freeway Ford, we sell cars and trucks for less every day. Right now, get a loaded 08 Ford Explorer for just $16,900. That's a loaded 08 Ford Explorer in your driveway for just $16,900. Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford, 3rd and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
AM 760 and pianos ask you, is it Joel, John, or George? Guess correctly, and you could win a brand new piano. Listen to Mario's show this week for a chance to win a Kurzweil digital piano and 8 weeks of lessons. Mario plays the song Tell Us If It's by Billy Joel, Elton John, or George Winston. Then you're qualified to win. More details on AM760.net.
Hi, it's Tom Harbin to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill wood products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, it's cheaper to buy, and it helps Colorado forests and workers. Visit their showroom in Lakewood and mention this ad to receive 10% off on your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD, 303-205-WOOD, or lowershardwoods.com.
Hi, Ashton Ritchie from Scotts here with homeowner Brad Oakley. What you writing there, Brad?
An apology note to my neighbor.
Oh, what happened?
Dandelions happened, all over my lawn. Now those fluffy white seeds are blowing all over my neighbor's lawn.
Well, dandelions are trouble. They don't just look bad, they also steal essential nutrients from your lawn. Luckily, they're Scotts Turf Builder Plus 2.
That'll stop the dandelions?
Absolutely. It's formulated to kill dandelions and other tough weeds. And unlike bargain brands, it has no filler. So every single granule delivers 100% food and weed-killing power.
Sounds like a surefire way to kill those dandelions.
It is, and since Turf Builder also feeds you grass, you'll get a thicker, greener Turf Builder lawn.
Great. But what about my neighbor?
I'd pick up a bag for him, too. With dandelions popping up, this weekend is the perfect time to put down a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Plus 2. This is Ashton Ritchie. See you in the yard.
Here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. All right. If you're the seventh caller right now, 303-831-2760. 303-831-2760. 303-831-2760. You will get a signed copy of my new book, The Uprising, personalized signature to you. 303-831-2760. It's the just came out in paperback. So again, 303-831-2760. Be the seventh caller right now, and you'll get a signed copy, personalized to you, of my new book, The Uprising. Now let's go back to the phones here. Let's go to John in Casper, Wyoming. John. Hello, John.
No, this is Donna in Wheat Ridge.
Oh, hey, Donna. My bad. Hey. I pushed the wrong button. No problem. Donna.
I know how that goes. Yeah, I wanted to tell you, David, that I do agree that this American exceptionalism really has no place. Being a cynic, I'm not sure that the United States and citizens can get over that way of thinking. And in my mind, anyway, it's pretty much a result of the just fervent religiosity that sort of pervades this culture. Religion has gone too far against the First Amendment. It's gone too far into our culture. And I think that that's used as a basis for thinking that not only are they the culture, the only culture that's referred to in their Bible, but also that, you know, our determinism gives us the right to dictate to the rest of the planet how they need to run their cultures.
Well, it really does create a lot of problems, and that's exactly the way you're right. The way you've described it is the way we sort of strut around the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the flip side is, and Andrew Bacevich, the author, talked about this, is saying, you know, we need to be more pragmatic in our foreign policy. We need to look at, in Afghanistan, for instance, if we know that that culture and country has been stabilized and run by warlords in the past, we need to look at that as a viable option. And of course, the other side of that is that we then can end up making deals with and supporting regimes that are not democratic and that actually the mass public in those countries don't really like. Like when we make common cause, for instance, when we make allies with Hosni Mubarak of Egypt in the name of stability, there are millions of people in Egypt who do not like the dictator Hosni Mubarak. And when we make common cause with him, we probably don't look so good in the eyes of the mass public in Egypt who does not like their dictator. So it's a really, really complicated situation about how to navigate these shoals. Hey, thanks for the call. All right, last call of the day. We'll go to John in Denver. You're the last call of the day.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Great. Well, I just think that in pursuit of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, we have caused so much suffering and harm and death to the people of Afghanistan. It's just a completely wrong-headed idea, the idea that, you know, war can solve our problems.
Well, and that's, you know, that's ultimately we're talking about blowback, right? For every action, there's definitely going to be a reaction, and I'm not saying the reaction is justified, and I'm not saying it's the size of it is guaranteed, but you're right. War has a reaction, and we have to be more cognizant of it. Thanks for the call. All right, this has been the J. Marvin Show here on Thursday. Tomorrow, movie...